Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hey, how you doing?
No echo. Hello.
Nope.
Hello. Hello. Yeah. Hello. 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 It sounds good.
Glad to hear it.
Excellent.
Yay.
Yay. Anyway, well, that's all good. That's what we like. No echoes. No
Sorry,
nothing.
Video people.
Yeah, don't worry about that. Look, it is what it is.
It's probably better not to risk it.
I would agree. It's probably better not to risk it.
Okay, let's not risk it. Everybody ready?
I think we're ready. Let's just do this.
I am indeed.
Yay, we finally got it working.
Welcome, y'all, to the Veteran Gamers. Juju, Jimmy,
and Antonio.
About every single game that you're playing this week.
That's me.
And an indie
pitch.
Stu story time and Chimmy's game breakers. Here comes Duke with the soundbite saviors.
Are you seriously talking about video games?
It's the Veteran Gamers.
It's the Veteran Gamers.
It's the Veteran Gamers.
No! No, I said! I am your father! Put it back on!
Switch that console off before you have to press repeat, yo.
Why do you always not shut up? Hello and welcome to episode 382 of the Veteran Gamers Podcast.
Yay, 382, and we're coming through straight to you. I'm Duke.
I'm Stu.
And I'm not Chinny again.
I know.
My goodness. You know what? Last time Chinny was gone, Antonio, I think you were our guest. Because when I pulled up OBS, I had the text still on the screen from when I was streaming last time, when I was able to still do video. And it said, like, WWE. And I think you're the only one we know who plays that, so.
Oh, yeah. No, I actually remember that. Oh, yeah. That was a bad game. That was a bad game.
About that.
Yeah. Yeah,
then. Hello, everyone. Hello. It seems in this podcast community that I'm in, I'm, like, the replacement guy. And it's kind of flattering.
Replacements.
Well, there's, look, that's a good thing, though, that people come to you to be, like, as a replacement, I guess.
Yeah, it's flattering. I appreciate it.
That's all good. So you should be flattered. That's what I say.
That's right. We stream every Sunday at 9 p.m. GMT, which is 3 p.m. Central Time in the States, and we broadcast live on Twitch. We usually broadcast live on YouTube and Beam. But Chinny's not here this week, and I don't know how to do YouTube and Beam, and I can barely get OBS working, so there's no video this week. Sorry, stream listeners, but people listening on the podcast, they won't notice anything different. Except they won't get to hear my awesome little pre-show thing that I created. Here it is. I got it. Hang on. Let me play it. Stand by for pre-show banter, which I played last week, but then Stu cut it out.
Look, you usually complain that there's too much talking at the beginning, so I cut loads of it off. What's the matter with you?
Yeah, but I wanted to put something up front so that people know if they, you know, if you start a podcast and it sounds like it's starting in the middle of the podcast, you could get disoriented. If it's someone listening for the first time and they have to sit through 4 minutes of like, well, I went to Preston and blah, blah, blah,
well,
blah.
Well, that's why I cut it off.
Yeah, but you didn't just start at the theme song, though.
I know.
Mm. You cut it down.
I did. That's true.
But if I had this awesome sound clip that I created,
yeah.
Stand by for pre-show banter, then people would be like, oh, that's cool. I'm getting a little pre-show banter.
Yeah, I don't like it.
It was a good sound clip and you should have left it.
I don't like it. I don't know. What can I say?
Anyway. That's past. Moving on now. How you doing, Antonio?
I'm doing very well, thank you. It's been a long month for me since university's been done for a month, technically. So it's been just straight filming, editing. It would have been editing if my PC didn't die for 2 weeks, but, you know, what are you going to do? Sorry?
How did it die?
The GPU died. So whenever I loaded up Adobe Premiere Pro or any game, so anything intensive, it would die. The drivers would go, and then it'd get fixed, and it'd say the drivers are not responding. So I took the GPU out. Hi, any console gamers. I took the GPU out. Put it into a different slot, and it went worse. So I went, okay, I'll go buy Amazon Prime, get another one. The Amazon Prime tick was on the GPU I bought, so I was like, yeah, okay, sick. I'll get it tomorrow. 2 weeks later, it turns up. Great.
So what did you go for? What have you gone for, then?
I'll read it straight from the box, because it's by my feet. in Radeon RX 470 8GB factory overclocked version.
Were we on a Radeon before, or were we on...
I was on a Sapphire RX 280.
Yeah. So you've always gone with that, so...
Oh, I like this 21 Amethyst 7.5.
So have you ever been NVIDIA, or have you just sort of...
I was NVIDIA when I first got this PC in 2005.
Wow. So not anymore.
That was back in the day, huh? Back in the day, I was young, I'm not a kid anymore.
Some days I still wish I was a kid again. So is it all fixed now? Have you tinkered out? Are you done?
Yeah, it's all there. All the screwdrivers are still on the floor, but it's all there. It's all ready. It's all good. And I've been editing the past week like hell, trying to catch up. Yeah. So I had to edit a thing for university, and also I edit for people for money, because that's how I buy games. It's been arduous, but it's been fun.
Good.
Is that the correct word, Duke? Is that arduous? Is that
the correct
word?
Like fun, though. I mean, arduous, yes, that's the perfect word for it, but it doesn't sound like fun, to be honest. That's just me.
It hasn't.
Yeah, the word arduous you don't usually associate with fun.
Thank you. I am writing an essay, so I need to get these things corrected. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Scrap
the essay entirely now.
This is the Correct Your Grammar podcast.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, when you have an English teacher.
The first word we're going to study is arduous.
Yeah, exactly.
Next word is...
Anyway.
Silicon volcano coniosis.
Anyway, I've got a little story to tell.
Oh, snap. Here we go, people.
My favorite time. It's story time.
Story time.
So, my daughter, as you know, is 15. And
my daughter is
15. And 15-year-old girls are into weird pop idols. And she went to a Shawn Mendes concert on Friday.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, he's some R&B American singery person, I guess.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, she went to a Shawn Mendes with two of her friends. We didn't go. We just hung around in Manchester waiting for her to come out. But as we were going, we usually go on the train. But there was a train strike on Friday.
But I fall when I'm around you. Show me.
Yeah, it's a bit of a crooner.
Shawn
Mendes, y'all. Yeah, he's a croonery type singer, I think. Anyway.
So you're on the train.
No, we're not on the train because the trains are on strike.
Okay.
So all the trains are on strike in the UK, so people are going, I'm not going to drive a train. Because, right, there's this big thing, right, and I'm sure you're not interested, but there's this huge thing where they're trying to get rid of conductors on trains, so they'll just literally have a driver and nobody else.
Right.
So the drivers are all kicking off saying, like, if there's trouble, what's going to happen? You know, if shit kicks off on these trains, who's going to sort that shit out?
Right.
Do you see? So they're all kicking off anyway. So they're all on strike. So we had to drive into Manchester. So we had to drive there. Now, we don't usually drive when we go to concerts because there's like a train goes right into the concert venue. So you don't even have to like walk anywhere. You just literally get off the train and go in. So that was all good. And anyway, as we're driving along towards the venue, there's some dudes in like, you know, like day glow jackets, you know, like parking attendant types. And anyway.
They shake you down?
Not quite, but they may well have done that. So these two dudes dressed in day glow jackets. As I'm driving along the road and they're going, car parking here, whatever, right? Big sign, car park. So I slows down and he's like, yeah, come in here, mate. It sounded like Bez from the Happy Mondays. Yeah, mate, get in here. Anyway, so I drives into this, what I thought was a car park. It turned out to be this kind of very tiny parking space next to an abandoned building. So I'm thinking, seems a bit dodgy. Don't reckon they probably own this land that they're like selling for £10 a parking space. So Kay's like, I'm like, do you think we should go? And Kay's like, oh, I don't know. There might not be any spaces in the like any car parks near. So anyway, the dude comes up and I said, like, you know, how much is it? And he's like, a tenner. I'm like, a tenner? And he's like, yeah, mate, it's a tenner. Right. So I was like, right. And he's like, yeah, but. I'm like, oh, I think we'll go somewhere else, mate. And he's like, no, man, you'll get off quicker if you stay here. You know what I mean? You'll not have to queue or anything to get out.
That's what he said.
So I think he's got a point. It sounds like a valid argument, doesn't he? You don't have to queue as much. You'll get out quicker. That sounds like a good thing. So we paid the dude. And we walked away from our car. Anyway, forward fast like 3 hours later, coming back to the car.
Uh-oh.
First thing I notice is that there's two cars parked across the entranceway into the car park.
Oh, jeez.
So I'm thinking, that's a bit odd. Why is the two cars parked there? As we got closer, we realised, because we were on what you would consider the back row, so we backed in, like backed up against the building, and then there was probably, you know, room to turn out. Directly, and I kid you not, right, I wish I'd have taken a picture of this, but there was a line of cars parked all the way along, nose to tail, in front of our car and all the other cars parked there. And then there was a second row of cars parked all the way along next to those. And then a third row of cars parked along those. And then there were two cars parked in the entryway, you know, like driven in but just stopped. And then two cars parked across the entry. So we were right in the back. I'm like, oh my God. And these guys charged.
For other people at the concert, you had to queue for other people who had been parking in that parking garage.
Well, we had to wait until obviously the people who were blocking the entrance came first. It was a right nightmare. And I'm just like, oh my God, right. And these guys who obviously had nothing to do with that land had made like what was probably 12 spaces into about 32.
Yeah,
that's.
Man.
So they made £320 from all that parking and probably didn't have any real like legal
Champ,
right
what,
to do it.
What's ass with $600?
I know, yeah, £300 for all that. But yeah, it was unbelievable. I was just like, oh my
so
God.
So how was the concert? Let's get to the real issue.
I don't know. I didn't go.
You didn't go? I thought
no.
What, you drove and then did what?
We just went for a meal and left them to him. And I don't want to go see Shawn Mendes.
I don't know.
Jesus Christ. We went to Nando's.
Would you say it was quite cheeky?
It was a cheeky Nando's. We went and had a cheeky Nando's. But we were quite cheeky because we had obviously time to kill. So we didn't really order for about half an hour. So we just took up a table and chatted for a bit before we
but
ordered.
But you're not in a rush at that point because it's like, what, 3 hours of the concert?
Exactly. So yeah,
you're like, take your time, waiter. We ain't trying to get at
take your time. To be fair, they were fine. They didn't come and bother us a go. Come on, get your order in. But yeah, Millie Fortu was very good. She was very hoarse when she came out from all the screaming, you know, all these screaming girls. But one of her friends...
Duke sounds like one of the fangirls from the show.
It does. He does, actually. one of her friends from school, a lad...
Sean! I want to be your wife!
Oh my God. Anyway, there was one lad from school went.
Sean! I cut my hand off! Here it is in a bag!
And according to Millie, he was the only lad in there, she thought.
Yeah!
Oi! Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
Sean! Anyway. Love your music, dude! It's awesome!
Anyway.
I wish I could relate to your story, but I have a motorbike, so I've never had that issue, ever.
No. But anyway, the moral of this story is. Yeah, don't trust some dodgy Mancunian who sounds a bit like Bez from the Happy Mondays. That is immoral.
Yeah. Life lessons from y'all.
I know.
Yeah. Well, this is a video game podcast, by the way. We will eventually be talking about video games.
I know,
not just
yeah.
graphics cards that we just bought or concerts that...
That's gaming related, leave off.
Yeah. The concert isn't, to be fair.
But it's not actually about games. And most people who listen are probably console gamers. So. Anyway, I have a story that's gaming related. We saw Hari Kondabolu perform last night. Just kidding. We saw him, but it's not gaming related. So moving on. Let's talk about what we've been playing.
What you been playing?
What you been playing?
And by the way, we are not military.
What you
We are veterans of the gaming lifestyle, so I don't want anyone to get it twisted.
Yeah, don't be coming on with that lie, you know. Veteran war hero stuff.
We're not Oorah, none of that. It's just games, yay!
We're not ex-army and play games or like that.
Yeah, hooray for games! Yeah. I like the video games because they're fun.
Anyway, let's...
That's our kind of veteran lifestyle.
It is. But anyway, we have got Antonio on, and as he is the guest, I think we should let him start first.
Yeah, go ahead, Antonio. What have you been playing?
Yeah, what have you been playing, Antonio?
Should we start with Persona 5 Stew since you played that as well?
Oh, you see.
Everybody was playing Persona 5. I can't resist. I got to try to get video of this because I don't know what the hell it is.
Good luck, but try not to break the stream. So let's start with this. How are you finding it, Stu?
Sean Mendes in?
What are you saying even, Jew? What is going on?
Didn't break when I put Sean, what's his name, in the
no,
screen.
No, he didn't break. It was all good.
Okay, then. It'll be all right.
Be all right.
Maybe I'll play a little Kendrick Lamar. We gonna be all right. There you go. Hit the po-po for show.
Anyway, I told you, you will eventually get to talk about it.
It's cool, it's cool. I'll just take it in.
Lucky.
But yes, Persona 5... I really like this game, but I don't know if I love it more than 4 Golden on the Vita.
Yeah, you see, I like it better than Golden because I think it's more technically better.
That is definitely true.
You know
definitely
what I mean?
True.
And it's a lot slicker, and I mean, and the animations are as, I mean, not the animations, but the anime parts were great on Persona 4 as well. Mm. But it is so slick.
It
you know
is,
what I mean?
I
and
really
and
love
everything.
It.
Yeah.
Slick.
Like, all the issues I have are little niggles that add up together. For example, the first 2 weeks of the game is purely tutorial and you can't do anything. So for someone like me who knows, right, let's go start working on stats and stuff like that, because stats really help later on when building your social links.
Oh, yeah.
Nah, Morgana just said you have to go to sleep, which became a meme, actually. Morgana is quite hated among the Persona community. The cat character, by the way. Don't know who that is. Yeah, because the first two... a week to the game, nearly a month, you can't actually explore or do anything since you're constrained by, what's the word? I'm tired.
Constrained.
Thank you. I think
the word you're looking for is arduous.
Arduous, arduous, man. The first two weeks are arduous.
They are, to be fair, because it's just pure tutorial. And I can understand completely why people are being annoyed by that, because if the Persona fans don't like it, it's bad, and if the newcomers don't like it, that's pretty bad. But once the game starts going, it's freaking awesome. I love
it. Yeah, it doesn't
take. Did you notice that on your own, Stu, or did you just agree with Antonio's when
no,
he brings
no,
it up?
No, actually, I didn't feel it was that bad, to be honest. Because there was stuff happening. It was building the picture and letting you know what the hell was going on and stuff. You know, I have no issues. And it's like I said last week, to be fair, the tutorial's still going on at like 20 hours.
Well, you get drip-fed stuff until very late into the game.
Yeah.
It's just... the kind of game it is, really.
Just like Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
Like Urkel. And the alien has a heavenly voice. Like Urkel.
But I specifically bought a PlayStation 4 for this game.
Oh my goodness.
I can't blame you.
And I'm kind of glad I did, because the Persona 5 version on the PS3 is quite bad at running. So it runs at 30 FPS quite well, but it has constant screen tearing, even when you're just walking around. So I'm glad I got Persona 5, because it runs at 1080p 30 lots. It's perfect.
Oh, yeah. I've not had any sort of technical issues or any slowdowns that I can think of. I haven't really seen anything.
I haven't seen a single one.
PS4 is better than my computer.
Possibly. Possibly.
Maybe. And I did get a lovely Steelbook Launch Edition as well.
I got one of those.
Hey, nice.
But you got a better deal than me, didn't you? Because I was really shocked to find one in a game store, and it was like 49 quid, so it wasn't that expensive either. But you got yours 43, did you say?
42. Yeah,
42, that's pretty good. Because it's really hard to get hold of now. I mean, Amazon hasn't had it on for ages, available at a reasonable price.
Yeah, they're worth like 60 now. Like you could trade that in and get money from it if you wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's...
Congratulations, Antonio. You have beat Stu at the art of being a cheapskate.
He has.
I am known amongst my friends group as the cheapskate. I go on a Hot UK deals every day and check the deals. I do love a cheap deal. I can't help it.
So let me ask you this, Antonio. As a younger person here,
mm-hmm.
you know, what do you think of the character Anne, then? What are you saying? What do you think?
What are you trying to insinuate?
I'm just asking. It's just a straightforward question. What do you think of the character Anne? I'm only just asking.
Pretty plain, quite boring.
but it's the subtext.
I don't get it. I feel like there's a joke here, but I'm not understanding, and most of our listeners.
Jesus, she's a cliche blonde, attractive girl.
She is. I'm just joshing him.
Have you heard about all the? So quite a few hardcore fans are complaining about the translation and the adaptation of it.
In what respect?
Actually, maybe that's not the way it's said in Japanese.
Well, not that. It's more the voice acting, and there's quite a few jabs at like otaku culture and all that shit, and like nerds and that. There's quite a few jabs at it.
Well, What, nerds get upset when then people make fun of them? No.
No. No, I do. I think the voice acting is really good.
I think it's really well done.
Yeah, I've no problems with that.
And I think Atlus kind of gave people a way to not be annoyed, because you can just have the Japanese voices and dialogue if you want anyway, because they give you it as a free download.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm bad at English, since I prefer the English. Plus, yeah, I play it lying in bed, so I can't read the subtitles.
There you go. And I've got to say, like I said last week, and you echoed this, it's one of those games that's great to play on... No, not that Echo.
Get it, Echo!
We get it. Yeah, it's great to play on remote play on the Vita. It works perfectly.
It really is. Like, I've been recording quite a few podcasts recently, and I've been playing on remote play when they do a topic which I know won't speak about.
Play a video game went during a podcast? Oh,
how unprofessional.
Well, like, if I'm folding my laundry right now. Attention,
we're doing trade.
My laundry right now.
Thank you. But, like, you can just do one battle, then pause, and then unmute mic and you're sorted.
Yeah. I mean, like I said last week, I've played now, like, I think I'm up to about 24 hours. I'm not quite at the 30 hours. You're around 30, aren't you?
Yes.
I think I'm probably at about 24 hours in. And apart from that one in the very first palace, right near the end, where I'd... you probably know this. There's a part where you have to go across a bridge where there's, like, swinging axes.
Yes.
One of the enemies on the way back... So I'd literally got what I needed to solve the puzzle, as it were, and stop the axes. And I'd literally just one of the random guards, I had a battle with him, and it wasn't even like a tough enemy or anything like that, but they did some sort of weird critical hit on Joker and killed me.
I actually died that exact same bit as well, but I got a knock on my door and I turned around and went, you're right. And then I turned back around and I was being attacked.
Yeah.
Because in this game, instead of every other Persona where you're kind of just thrown into it, you're actually a thief now. And yes, you have to sneak around.
And you can nick stuff.
Exactly. You have to steal the person's heart.
That's right.
Actually, one of my favorite parts of the game. I kind of love the
treasure.
Like, whoa. What?
So the purpose of the Phantom Thieves is that you steal... So the palaces are someone's inner desires. So, for example, one character, while being vague, treats students poorly and has a lust for a certain character. Yeah. For example.
You have to treat students poorly.
But he does.
Do you follow those practices as well, Duke?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
But Duke, is one of your darkest desires to wear a robe and a pink thong?
No, I wear a bathrobe to school sometimes.
Wow. You would be right at home with this guy then.
I know, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds like my guy.
But yeah, so you the palace is their inner desires and wants, and the treasure... Okay. So basically, to get the treasure, you have to alert someone in real life that you're going to take it.
Yeah, and the calling card, man.
Indeed. And once you've stolen their treasure and fought the boss, because I doubt you're ever going to steal the treasure efficiently, they change in real life. But if you do it wrong, they die.
Bought the treasure efficiently without getting caught. I'm really good at stealth.
I'm just kidding. I'm tough at stealth. That's the thing, though. Like, it's minor differences, because in Persona 4, it's simple dungeon crawling. Like, you just walk around corridors, and if you see someone, go and whack them. You might get lucky and get an ambush or not.
Yeah, but get them from behind, man.
This time it rewards stealth, because you can actually duck and hide. You can dash if you want to. But if you run, you might alert people, because, you know, you're running. You got to be a thief.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I've and again, with the Vita, it doesn't really matter, but I've very rarely used the run or the sprint thing in the palaces. I don't see the point.
I don't really too much.
Because you don't need to get anywhere quicker, to be fair. Do you know what I mean? There's no need to run about.
And they've also added basic platforming now. It's very basic, but But in Persona 4 backwards, you were just on one floor, then could walk up some stairs, another floor, walk up some stairs.
Yeah. I like
CP-17 with all the stairs. You ever seen that?
No.
Okay, never mind. Somebody out there gets that joke, write in to veterangamers@veterangamers.co.uk or send us a speak pipe and let us know that you got my SCP-17 joke.
There you go.
As you were, go ahead.
As you were, yeah, I was going to say, what I kind of like about it, apart from the main palaces or the main dungeons, which are all kind of pre-built, So they're all, you know, they're all in a sort of specific order, etc. Whereas in Persona 4, it was all completely random. Yeah. And they're all like procedurally generated. But they've still got that because obviously you've got the... I keep forgetting what
Mementos.
It's called. Mementos.
That was going to be my next point. I love Mementos.
I do.
So what I used to do when I used to get to the top floor of a dungeon is grind. I'd save, then go to the lower floor and grind levels because I knew that I was either underleveled or it was going to be a hard boss. And that gives you a chance to do it legitimately.
Yeah, and that's where you get the procedurally generated. That reminds me more of Persona 4, the Mementos levels. But I just keep going down until I come to the next bit that you can't get past.
And
you
can't, that's what I do.
You can't not do it. You just sort of go, oh, I can still go a bit further. I'm going to do it then. You just keep... Because you never know what you're going to find in the chest or... And you get so much cash when you're doing that. And you need it. You need it to go and buy your weapons and your armor and all that kind of stuff off the dodgy Ursoft. No, there's no prostitutes. There's no prostitutes. Oh, yeah, although you can romance some of the female characters, which I didn't realize.
Yeah.
There aren't prostitutes, but there is a maid service in this game.
There is?
Which relates to a support character, yeah.
Huh. I didn't know
yeah,
that.
Yeah. There's a bit where Ryuji says, do you want to meet up with someone? His name's Mishima, I think. Say yeah, because that starts a new social link.
All right, okay. Ooh. And there's 21 confidants, I think, there is altogether.
Is there?
Yeah, there's a hell
I've
of a lot.
I've activated like 10, I think, in total.
Yeah. What do you think of the twins in the Velvet Room?
Hate them.
Yeah, I do. Hate they're awful, aren't
they? They're so annoying.
They are.
So annoying.
But they do. Because they're like... They tell you off and stuff. They give you loads of shit, though.
So the assistant to Igor is normally some people like the internet's favorite character because they normally have either good quips or just interesting. The twins are not interesting. They hate you.
They
which
do.
Makes you kind of want to hate them back.
It does, but I think that's the point.
Oh yeah, yeah. Because in the other Persona games, you're the chosen one, and this one, you're an inmate.
Yeah, that's right. You're in trouble, man.
Because most of the story, as far as I know, is a flashback. Like, I don't know what happens after you recap the entire story, if there's, like, a one last mission or some shit, I don't know. But the entire game is an interrogation.
Yeah, I like the way that's done, though, to be fair. I think that's a really good way of structuring the narrative.
Because normally there's, like, one or two characters in the real world that know that, like, work out or find out that you're going to, you know, other worlds, so the TV world in one case or the Midnight Hour in Persona 3's case. But it's quite interesting having a character that is being told the entire story and going, sounds fake. At least she might work out it's real later on, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think the interrogation scenes are quite cool as well, and it also breaks up the story and the gameplay and gives you something else to focus on for a bit.
But I also, I don't know if I'm misremembering, but I swear the heist you do at the start is in the real world.
I guess it is. No, I would imagine that definitely is. That's
which
not
is something I
don't
I want
think
to
that's
know.
In a palace. Yeah, I don't think that's a palace.
Which is something I really want to know, like how their personas and powers come to the real world.
Yeah, and have they progressed to sort of, because it's a casino you're in, isn't it, right at the beginning?
Yeah, that's the first fight you do, yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I just say, Antonio, that you have made Stuart so happy that he has someone to talk about this game
with. I know.
Because normally when he talks about this game or any game like it, Chinny and I are just like, what the fuck are you talking about? We hate you. Chinny will start putting dick butt on the screen and I'll just be playing sound clip after sound clip. So I'm glad this is Stu's favorite show we've ever done. Go on.
It is. It's a favorite show I've ever done. Yeah, I love it. I love Persona 5 because I was a bit concerned, I'll be honest. Because of the length of the game, to just do a basic playthrough takes about 100 hours. So that's not doing tons of grinding and all the extra stuff you can do. That is like literally to finish the game, you have to put about 100 hours in.
I'm looking forward to it.
I know, yeah, but I love it. I love the way it's moving. I don't feel the second palace backstory is as interesting as the first one.
No.
I think the first one was really interesting and well done, and it was nice how it introduced all the different characters.
I thought like some of the more touchier subjects of that dungeon were actually handled really well as well.
Yeah, yeah. Apart from Penis Boss was a bit weird.
Yeah, I giggled at that.
Yeah. But other than that, yeah, no, I'll totally agree with you. I think it's, for a Japanese game, and I said this last week, it's quite mature in the way it's been done.
Yeah, like, so this game was in some ways a successor to Catherine. Because this was made right after Catherine. It's built off that engine. There are a lot of references to Catherine. And although I enjoyed Catherine, the way it handled some story elements and shit, I really didn't enjoy. Like, for example, Catherine with the C or Catherine with the K. If you interact with either one of them in any way, it's either good or bad. I hated that. Like, if you're trying to be like, let Catherine with the K off easy, for example, you know, you get a devil, you know, you get put down as an evil guy. No, I'm trying to be nice.
Is it the same developers?
Atlas, yeah.
I think for the sake of simplicity, this is not related to that other question. I think it would be easier to call the one Catherine and the other one Sathrin, because you could pronounce something with a C with a S sound. So it'd be easier to just, instead of having to say Catherine with a K, you could just say Catherine. And instead of Catherine with a C, you could just say Sathrin.
Or just give different names.
Put that out there, people. You can use that as a time saver. You're welcome.
But to be fair, you definitely knew who was who anyway.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I knew that from so many things.
Yeah, there was no confusion.
Slut is evil, that's what.
I love Catherine. That's one of my other favorite Japanese games. I love it.
I haven't finished that game.
Catherine with the K.
You never finished it. It was great.
I got stuck on it. I was actually surprised at how hard that game is.
No, I did the super easy mode.
I do. I'm on like normal. I might have to down it to easy.
There's another one below easy. There's a super easy mode.
Is there?
Yeah, there's like a secret menu option.
What does it do? Like, is there no time limit or something?
No. There's still all that stuff. It's still hard. Don't get me wrong. Those last dungeons on that were still really hard, but not as punishing. I can't remember. I think you get less of the really bad blocks. You know, the ones that make it really difficult to climb. I think there's a few less of those.
I get you.
But yeah, you've got to do some weird button presses to get it to get the option to come up. It's like hidden in the menus.
I kind of like that. Like in Crash Bandicoot 1, there's a cheat to unlock all levels, but you can actually save because you have to get a gem or do a bonus level to unlock that. If you go to the cheat screen, there's only four like input buttons, so you go, oh shit, the code's too long. You start putting the code in, then the code gets longer and longer.
Fun
fact there.
But yeah, no, I love Catherine, and just the way that whole story played out, I thought was really well done. You know, it's a really interesting story, and I like both parts of that. And you know, when you get to the top of one of those pyramids, it was so satisfying.
It definitely was satisfying. You felt like you conquered a mini dungeon itself.
Oh, really, really interesting, and I like the way it was all done. And just the it was all about how quickly you reacted to what you saw ahead of you, you know, and how quickly you worked out the route upwards.
But, a couple more things before we move on, because Duke sounds like he wants to commit suicide.
I know, he loves Persona 5. Keep on going.
What do you think of the characters so far, then? Apart from Arn, who do you like, dislike? We have the same characters, I think, thus far.
Yeah, I quite like Arn. I quite like Arn as a character. I know you said she's boring. I think she's kind of cool.
She's boring, but fine. Like, she's had funny moments and stuff.
Yeah. And she's kind of a cool character, because she's a typical good-looking cheerleader-y type character.
Yeah,
but then when you get to know her a bit, she's kind of not like that at all.
No, that, I did appreciate that.
Yeah,
but compared to the rest of the cast, nah, can't hold it. There are people I know who are coming, which I cannot wait for.
But that's actually
a downside I find of Persona games. So I was really good with the pre-release material, like not watching trailers and stuff, because when you see a character, for example, someone with a weird hair color for something, you know they're going to be part of your team because they're on the front cover.
Does it get to a point where, or will it get to a point where you have to choose, a bit like Mass Effect, where you have to choose who you take into the dungeons, then, I'm guessing?
Yeah, so it's the same variable persona. You have a four-party limit, including yourself. So now I have five people, soon to be six, from the way the story's going.
So you've just
someone out.
Yeah, the artist guy, I can't think what he's called now.
Yusuke, yeah.
Yusuke, I've only just met him. And he's just become part of the team. So that's kind of cool.
We're not too far apart. I think we're like 2 or 3 weeks apart in game time. Not very far apart.
Yeah, and that can go pretty quick. How did you go in the first exams I made? All right, balls up of it.
I did really well.
Oh, you would. But how long?
Can I tell you how?
Yeah, you cheated.
Click the touchpad in. It tells you what people have guessed.
Never thought that.
Because sometimes...
Yeah, because of the live thing. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because sometimes I don't know what I can do right now, like, on the day. So I click in the touchpad and it says 60% of people have done things related to studying, for example. So I know, oh, I can go and study then. So I thought, is that the same for the test? I clicked in and I went, oh, okay, cool. And it's literally like 98% chose one, 1%, 1%. It's like, all right, either 1% of them are really smart or 98% of them Google it.
There you go. Because
so only like four questions have I got legitimately right.
I've got a couple, but to be honest with you, you don't want to waste getting them wrong, do you? Because you want those knowledge points.
Exactly. And that's why the first 2 weeks are kind of annoying, because you can't start working on stats.
Yeah.
That's a small issue, though. It's a small issue. I do love this game. But anyway, I'll move on.
Yeah, move on.
Overwatch. I play a shit ton of Overwatch.
Overwatch!
I play so much of this game.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you're trying to be competitive and stuff, huh?
Yeah, I am competitive now. I'm in like a... semi-pro team and stuff, because...
Who's your go-to person these days?
I'm a support main, so I play Ana, Zenyatta, Lucio, and Mercy. And I pick like a DPS such as Soldier if I need to, but in my team I play Ana, Zen, Mercy, and Lucio.
Yeah.
If I play for fun though, I pick Lucio straight away because I love him.
Yeah, he's fun.
And also recently he's had quite a few changes. So anyone who doesn't play Overwatch, it's a team-based game where there are 24 different heroes.
Characters to choose from.
There's 24 different heroes, 4 separate classes, but that's some debate in itself. But they all have their own skill set, and they're very varied. There's like the closest thing you can put to one to another is maybe Genji and Hanzo.
Team Fortress, but like much cooler.
Yeah, it's a very more stylized Team Fortress 2.
Soldiers have actual bullets.
Yeah, well, there you go. He's the, if I have to like pick Soldier, I do choose him. Like if we need an extra gun, I pick Soldier. He's the perfect like all around player.
Yeah.
Plus that rocket jump's really useful. So it's a team based game. There are, it's either an objective based game such as carrying a payload forward or playing King of a Hill, or now there is capture the flag and also Horde mode. So I'm playing a bit of the Horde mode because
I've
really
not played either of those. That's interesting.
They're in the arcade. They're in the arcade section.
Yeah. Cool.
It's really fun. The Horde mode is pretty damn fun. And I've been just grinding chests to get the new skins and stuff since I love the Mercy skin and stuff. And I didn't get many, so after this I'm going to go and buy them because I have like 12k coins. But yes, I love this game. And the reason I play it more now is A, I'm in a team. But B, because I have gotten really high in the ranks. And the thing is, once you get to a high rank, you have to play at least 7 times a week, which I hate. So your rank starts to decay.
Play it once a day, or is it like...
Once a day, or you can do all your settings in one go, which I personally hated, because before you could do one game a week and you hold your rank, which I think is perfectly fine.
Right.
But like this is making me want to play it less and less, because it becomes a burden more than fun.
Anytime you have to do something, it's not fun.
Exactly, and I really hope that gets changed in Season 5, or else I'll probably stop playing it. Because, you know, other games come and other games go. And although I love this game, I want to play other stuff, you know, or I need to go and do things such as live a life. I can't, you know, play Overwatch constantly.
And it's making you turn your back on other games. When was the last time you played Rocket League, sir?
Yeah, that is a very good point. And, well, Persona 5 is another example. Like, Persona 4, a month in, I was about 70 hours in. Persona 5, I'm, like, 30.
To be fair, though, Persona 5 is one of those games that just sucks your life away.
It does.
Because it's like you can do not a lot, but 2 hours have passed. just been fighting enemies in the palace for a bit. You know, do a couple of floors.
The thing guilty to that is, I say Mementos. I've spent a lot of time in there.
Yeah, yeah. And the like I said, the trouble with that Mementos is just the way you're constantly going. It doesn't take long to get through a floor. And then you're on to the next one, and it's like, I can just go down one more floor and see what's down there.
Mm, exactly.
And it's much the same stuff, but whatever reason, you got to keep on going.
Back to Overwatch.
I was actually waiting for that button.
Hey, by the way.
God damn it.
By the way, Overwatch has passed 30 million players now.
Yeah, it's a massive game. It's quite funny.
The question I want to ask is, for those who don't know, if every round of... or every game of Overwatch has a play of the game. How often would you say you get play of the game?
Not very often because I play support.
Yeah, support.
I've gotten it twice this season. That was for really good Lucio boobs. So Lucio, he can ride on. So he's a support character who can ride on walls, and he has an aura which covers a small area. Now it used to be massive, and now it's tiny. You can either heal or speed your team up. And they also made him more powerful, so his bullets are faster and stronger. And his boop, which is basically, it's what it sounds like. It'll push anyone who's in front of you away.
Soundwave! It's a shockwave!
Sound barrier. Sound barrier is his ultimate, which is also quite useful. Sound barrier is literally, you get extra health for a couple seconds, but it means life or death if you get caught in an ultimate.
Oh, shit.
I do love this game, but I'm very worried I'll start dropping off soon because I have to play so often. And the only people that are still there are, you know, the good ones, which means they're very critical and toxic.
Hardcore.
Which makes it really taxing to be a support, because...
At least you are playing Rocket League.
Thank you. I will promise I'll stop playing again soon, man.
I'm just saying, like, talk about toxic players.
Personally, I'd say Overwatch is much worse. Because really? There's a lot more to think about when you're playing Overwatch. Right. And
you're playing with people who, like, they expect you to be really good.
Well, yeah.
I think only they expect someone to be so good in competitive Rocket League. Especially, or maybe at my level. Maybe if I were up in gold or wherever it is, you know. Like, I'm down in the silver ones, and I'm like, whatever. I'm playing this game.
People are still quite toxic there. But, yeah, I'm in... So, if anyone who knows the ranks, I'm in Grandmaster, which is just below the top 500 in the continent. And I was there for a bit. I topped at 162 in Europe.
Impressive.
Thank you. But whenever someone looks at my career profile, I was platinum, which is like middle of the road in season two. I just learned how to play healer. It's legit all I did. I learned how to play healer, and I started doing really well. What else can I say about this game? I love it, but it's beating me up playing it because I have to keep playing it to keep my rank.
Yeah, that's how they get you, man.
Yeah, but they don't really gain anything from that, though. They don't gain any more money from me.
Well, no, but he keeps a player base up, doesn't he?
Yeah, and Blizzard have made other games such as Heroes of the Storm, and to get people to play that, they've been offering Overwatch skins if you play Heroes of the Storm.
Really? That's pretty desperate, man.
Yeah, like, I think the player base is like a 30th or like a 15th of Overwatch, of Heroes of the Storm. And they've even brought Overwatch characters to Heroes of the Storm to get people to play it. So right now there is there's been an Oni Genji skin, which looks awesome, and there's also a D.Va officer skin. And if you play 5 games of Heroes of the Storm, you can get that skin. Which is, you could tell just from hearing that they want people to play that game because they're not getting many players.
Do you know what I think is really good about Overwatch?
What's that?
Apart from the fact that you think it's a great game, I just like the fact that it's a first-person shooter that's suitable for younger kids.
Yeah, there's not an inch of blood, and all the characters are
cartoony,
funny as hell.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's a very... Well, look at the game. It's very cartoony.
Yeah.
It's just half...
I mean, I don't know what actual age rating is it?
12.
Yeah, which I think is perfect, because the vast majority of all first-person shooters or first-person multiplayer games are all... You know, sort of gratuitous or 18 rated or whatever.
That's the thing. That's why I fell in love with it. It was so different.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't had this much personality and character since Team Fortress 2. And
yeah,
that was, God, 10 years ago, roughly?
Yeah, a long time ago.
I do love this game. And I even when I stop playing, I'll stand by I love this game. But the community is terrible. I hate the community.
Can you play on this... Sort of with bots, or does it have to be...
Oh, yeah, yeah. They have all those options, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, because if you wouldn't want sort of a 10, 11-year-old playing this with that sort of community.
It should be 12 and up. Didn't you hear what you said about the age? Come on.
Well,
yeah,
12,
there's quick play, there's bots. Mm. There's also the arcade mode, which I do quite... I play the arcade mode now more than the competitive ranked play, because I just have fun. Playing with a university friend. We did the 3v3 mode, which is basically you can play any of three heroes against a team of another three in a very small map, and it's basically hardcore elimination, where you die, you don't come back, and you have to watch your team, and it becomes very serious.
Yeah, a bit like Gears of War.
Oh yeah, that's a perfect way of doing it, Gears of War. But even then, even when it got really tense, like even if we lost or won, I was laughing at the end because it was great fun.
Yeah.
So I'll probably start moving slowly away from the ranks, watch my rank slowly dip, and then just have fun with
it. Let it go, man. You've just got to let it go.
I'll have to.
Let it go!
I've got the footage of me getting to top 162. I'll take it. I'll take it. Moving on, I'll do a couple other small ones I've been playing. Tron R is an infinite runner on the Xbox One. Have you?
Yeah, I think that's... Has that not been on iPad?
What, the infinite runner?
Yeah, I'm sure I've seen it somewhere else.
It probably is. It does feel like a port.
Yeah. Oh, Duke, did you play it on Steam?
I played it on Steam, yeah.
Yeah, it might have been on Steam when I played it.
It was all right. I played it for half an hour, because that's how long the trial was.
Yeah, yeah. It's not game of the year or anything, but it's a solid runner if you like that type of
thing. It gives you a ton of achievement points if you're an achievement-like person. I got 500G just for doing the first half an hour.
Wow.
So if you like achievements, that's your game. I'm playing a fair bit of Dying Light. Because I got my...
Did you never finish that? I thought you finished that.
I finished it twice. I never finished the DLC. Sorry?
Third time's the charm.
Well, yeah, I'm playing the DLC, so technically third time. So I'm playing it only in the following DLC, which is the big open land with the car. And so my life recently has been I wake up, I edit, I work, basically. And then it's very late, like 4 to 6 a.m. is when I play this game. Dying Light is really relaxing for me.
Really?
So I'm not doing the story. I'm just...
Zombie apocalypse game is so relaxing.
Well, no, I'm just grapple hooking around, making weapons, and killing zombies. It's really relaxing.
So which DLC is it?
The following. So that was the big DLC, which made you get an entire new story and an entire new world to explore. And it's really good. It's mainly there for the car. And there is a Rocket League DLC, actually. There you go.
Duke's interested now.
And there is a Rocket League custom game, which I find really fun. It's literally just car football, but you wouldn't expect it in a game about jumping on roofs and killing zombies.
Well, yeah.
The story's fine. The voice acting's fine. The side quests are pretty bad, but it looks beautiful. Like, I tested my new graphics card with this, and it looks beautiful. It looked great before. It looks even better now. It's just really fun. That's the thing, man.
I really liked Dying Light. I thought Dying Light itself was a great game.
It's just fun, really. That's the thing.
You don't play DLCs, do?
No, I never got around to it, to be honest. Other stuff came along.
Like, it looks like a... Like, if Far Cry did a zombie game.
Yeah. That's a fair thing to say. It's nothing special. Like, I wouldn't recommend to go back and buy it. But it's great fun. The car is a great element to it, since by the time you get to this DLC, you're pretty maxed out of your level, so you know you haven't got much to upgrade. So giving you a car makes it even better. And since it's open fields, for the most part, that makes it even better to traverse. That plus the grappling hook. Did you ever get the grappling hooks, Jim?
Yes, I did. Yeah, in the main game.
That makes it so fun. Because when you... So I'm
certainly,
playing it
certainly made
hard.
It easier to get around.
Well, yeah, I'm playing it on very hard since I fought. I played on normal before. I want a challenge this time. But when I relax, I put it on normal, just, you know, mess about. But when you're having a chase, say, at night against the volatiles, which are terrifying still to this day.
I barely ever went out at night. Whenever the announcement comes out, night's coming, I used to just get to a safe zone and sleep.
Well, I had to do night recently since I entered a mission at 8 and the night comes at 9. So I left the dungeon, it was game on. I got all my firearms out. I was ready to fight. But the grapple hook makes it so fun to escape from them. So you're running, they're about to grab you. You see a watchtower, you hook up there, and you're safe for a few seconds. Which gives you time to jump, hook away, get in your car and drive. I love it. Such a fun game, man. If you haven't played Dying Light, it's really cheap.
Do you know, I used to cringe when it made... You know, when it forced you to do a mission at night. I was like, no.
Yeah.
I've got to actually... I can't avoid this.
Well, that's the thing. They made zombies scary again.
They did. Them nighttime
and
ones were horrendous.
Well,
yeah.
They also made them a threat.
That first mission, the first one that where you have to run back to the safe house at night and it forces you to do it, was horrible.
It was.
And it literally is pitch black. You can't see anything.
Have you played this at all, Duke?
No, I haven't. I need to.
I've seen it for very cheap now. The next Steam sale, I guarantee it'll be very cheap.
Yeah?
Because I've seen it on disc, the enhanced edition, with all the DLC for a tenner.
Sure.
I think this is one of the few games that did parkour really well.
Yeah. So fluid and so fun.
Yeah.
I, you know, it's funny because it's all melee, isn't it?
For the most part, you get guns.
There are guns, but they're not
half.
That's the thing. It's like I've reached a point where I don't know. It's weird because like I'll play Skyrim until my eyes fall out, but for some reason I'm like, you know what? I want guns in every other game.
Yeah,
I don't know why it is.
But there's so many cool weapons in this game.
Oh, I've seen great things about it, and I've heard wonderful things. I'll play it at some point.
And there are plenty of firearms to wet your waters. There are crossbows, bows and arrows, machine guns, shotguns, grenade launchers.
Oh, yeah, combat rifles. Kind of
all that. But I use them mainly for big enemies or human enemies.
Yeah. So why? It's a question, then. If there are guns, why do y'all not use them much?
Because it's more fun watching heads fly off and stuff.
It is, definitely. And a lot of the time, you're in an encounter where a gun isn't as smart to use compared to a bat.
And to be honest, if I'm not wrong, guns, don't they attract other zombies and stuff?
Yeah. So if you make too loud of a noise, say a big grenade, really fast infected will come and chase you. So they're the ones that will climb up walls and try and get you.
Yeah.
But there are ways to counter them, but I'll move on a bit. If you don't know me, I'm known as GH Rock on the internet. I play a lot of Guitar Hero.
Yeah. That's true. That is true.
And I edit for a Guitar Hero streamer now because he wants to branch into YouTube and all that rubbish. And he showed me Guitar Hero 3 on PC. You can mod it and add custom songs.
What?
Huh.
Yeah. So there's a massive, massive community for Guitar Hero 3 now, more than there ever was. Because you can add custom songs.
So what you're saying, you can basically play any song you want.
As long as it's been charted, yes. So there's a custom software where you can import the songs and stuff. And people make the charts. The charts are the colored notes that you hit.
Right,
okay. And so the entire process is you download the charts from online. You download the MP3 or whatever. If you get if you get it from an actual game, it comes with the band, the bass, and the guitar as well. So you can do co-op and all that rubbish. You import the song. You're done. That's it. And I love it. So you don't play really for score unless you want to upload it to a leaderboard like you're in, you know, the early 2000s. That's just my interpretation. Since the online is turned off for PC version, that's why I had to say it. It's just great fun. It's great to just download an album, say a band you like, and play it on Guitar Hero. Now, I must preface this. It's only expert. So basically, the only people that still play this game are the ones that are really good at it.
You know, that makes sense.
Right. Yeah.
But you know what? That's the thing. On Rock Band, which is the one I went for, I never got to the expert level because at a certain point it wasn't as much fun. Like it was grueling and my hands hurt and I was like, you know what? I don't want this.
Your hands do hurt. Well, the thing is, Rock Band 4 is still, you know, supported on the Xbox One and PS4. So if you are a more casual music player, Rock Band 4 is there for you. I did buy that for the Xbox One, but the adapter I bought didn't work. And I read on forums that it's quite common from the break. I went, I'm not messing with this. I'll just have the PC version and be happy. I will get Rock Band 4 one day when it's really cheap because it didn't sell well. It's going to die soon. I'll pick up I'll pick up the rubble. I'll pick up the ashes. And just to say this, I'm playing with a Guitar Hero 5 guitar on the PC through an adapter. That's how I'm doing it.
Right.
Roll deep.
Like how I play with the 360 controller. I have a little adapter, which I use. It's great fun. Doom. I played a fair bit of the Doom 2016 game again. Like, I played the arcade mode and the custom maps.
So, yeah, I'm assuming you finished the campaign.
Yeah, I played it at launch.
Right, okay.
And I'm playing this on PC because, again, I've got the new graphics card. I want to see how well it looks. And this game looks bloody gorgeous. I forgot how good this game looks. And it runs really well on lower hardware as well. So there's a Vulkan. There's a thing called Vulkan, which basically makes any AMD card run better on this game. And it looks beautiful. Like, I've maxed this game out, which I'm surprised at because this graphics card isn't made for maxing out games. It's made for, you know, locking at 1080p 60 at, like, medium, you know. Which is all I wanted because I don't play my PC too often.
No, well, that's what you get, man. I'll tell you.
The custom maps are great in this game. There's such a big community for this game.
So is this multiplayer stuff then, or is this kind of just...
There is a multiplayer, but I don't really dabble on that for this game. I just play the custom, like, fan-made maps. And people have remade games such as Tomb Raider and Doom in this game. There's been horde modes which are made, which I personally love. I love a good horde mode. And there's full, like, novels and quests, like quest-based stories they made in this custom software thing. I love it.
So interesting. You know, I mean, it's fascinating when people make, like, 'cause somebody's making right now the Capital Wasteland in Fallout 4.
I saw that. I really hope that you finished that.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's impressive as all hell. But I'm just like, what are you doing with your life? That game exists. Why do that?
I think it's to have the new mechanics and all that
well,
stuff.
Well, it's like there's someone in the middle of doing it's called Sky Oblivion, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where they're remaking Oblivion in Skyrim.
Yeah, in both of those cases, I think it's just like they want to stand out somehow. They want to make their own version of stuff. And that certainly is something people will talk about. That's something that people will notice. This person made all of the Capital Wasteland and Doom.
Well, that or they love the game, you know, want it, but
I
love Skyrim. I'm not going to recreate some other game in that game. That's the thing. But for me, that's the thing. There's different ways of loving games. I think that's the key because, like, Richard Webster spent hours and hours in Skyrim. He didn't even play the fucking game. He's doing creation kit stuff. So it's like there's lots of different ways people can relate to.
Didn't he make, like, a hunting mod or something?
Absolutely.
There you go. But that's great fun. I'll talk about this one first. I tried to play Alien Isolation again because borrowed it from my friends and I stopped playing because I found it dreadfully boring.
Isn't that what everybody found?
No, this game's pretty damn loved.
Yeah.
I was thinking Colonial. Sorry.
Yeah, definitely the wrong game. That's a totally different game.
Yeah, Alien Isolation, if you don't know, is the first person horror thriller game where you're in space, you're Ripley's daughter, and it's just one alien until there are other things, which I hated.
I hated the human stuff. I was just like, ugh.
Well, yeah, that was part of it. The AI was terrible and they just weren't scary. Yeah. They were just a nuisance. While the alien, I will give it this. This game looks beautiful. The atmosphere and the aesthetic is awesome. Although as soon as I turn on the game, I turn the film grain off. It's really distracting. Don't know if you ever noticed that.
No, I turned it off.
Aren't you a film? But I'm just kidding.
Well, that's the thing. I'm not a massive film buff. I'm learning. I'm getting there.
I think even a film buff, or maybe especially a film buff, would not want film grain on everything they play.
Well, I just think, like, give it as an option, which is perfectly fine. And I'm glad you can turn it off, because there are games where you can't turn it off. But it's really distracting. I thought this game, like, had a bug or something. It looked like a really badly done patch. But whatever. The reason I played this game was because I wanted to be scared. Like, my next game, I'm going to talk about Resident Evil 7. I love this game. Like, this might beat Persona 5 my game of the year.
What, Resident Evil 7?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
But Alien Isolation isn't scary at all. Like, the way they build up the alien is perfectly fine. I thought, yeah, that's pretty cool. But as soon as you, like, dodge him the first time or die the first time, all fear goes.
Yeah, but that's the same with a lot of horror games because it's the anticipation of being killed or attacked that makes it scary, and the moment that illusion's broken and you restart because you just died, that tension's kind of gone.
But you're stuck with the alien. Now you can see it as a positive or a negative, but even with something like Outlast, you're getting thrown new enemies, new encounters and new areas. Although you get new areas definitely in Alien Isolation, from what I've seen, you're still being chased by the same bastard.
Yeah, I think that happened to me with Silent Hill Shattered Memories. Because
that is a fair criticism.
Yeah, because that was the same. The first time you sort of get chased, it was really scary because obviously you can't defend yourself and you just got to run away and hide and stuff. But the moment you get caught, that sort of fear's gone.
What did you think of the story, though, and the aesthetics and the atmosphere?
Oh, I loved it. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's one of my favourite games. Shattered Memories, but I think that's the problem with these sort of horror games where you can't defend yourself and you have to hide, I think, because it relies so much on that chase sequence or that hiding in a cupboard to build tension, that once that tension's broken, it's really difficult to get back into that scary mindset.
And for me, like, I'm editing someone's playthrough right now of Outlast 2, which I will play eventually. And the thing with that is, it doesn't look as good as Outlast 1 because the setting isn't too varied. It's a lot of open space and cornfields and stuff like that. Like, the story does look quite interesting, but Alien Isolation, the story didn't interest me much at all. And this is someone who does enjoy the Alien films.
Who doesn't enjoy the Alien films?
Yeah, I mean, you're right about Outlast. I think what made the original Outlast good was that almost like feeling of claustrophobia, you know, and you know, especially in the early game where you had, especially when you had to go down into that sort of basement area where there was just enemies.
Yeah.
Horrible. It was, horrible. Yeah.
Pitch and black, no batteries. Yeah,
pitch black, small space, so, you know, it was quite easy to bump into someone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But if you're bumping into someone in Outlast, it ain't a good thing.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Like, why? Because you have to say, excuse me? Is that...
Is that well, you have to be very polite.
Spill your drink.
You know, they don't really learn... They don't really know how to speak. It's, you know, just punchy, punchy, stabby, stabby.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, critically, Outlast 2 has been given a bit of a mauling, really.
Yeah, it hasn't done very great, and I'm kind of... Like, I'm editing this playthrough right now, and, like, you know, I didn't want to be spoiled, but looking at it, it doesn't look too great. I hope I'm proven majorly wrong.
I don't think you will be. Great. I don't think you will
no,
be,
no, but... Moving on from that, at least I have Resident Evil 7.
So have you only got this recently?
I love this game.
Wow. So have you only got this recently, or is this something you've had for a bit?
So it came out in January, and I thought, you know what, I'll wait and play it with a friend. So we waited until March. We played a bit together, but then I was only back home for like a week, and we both said, all right, we'll play the story our own separate ways and leave the DLCs for us to play together because they're all quite small. Like, I know the DLCs are about 4 hours to 6 hours tops. So, you know, that's like a one-night sitting if we, you know, plan it. I fucking love this game because AAA horror games done well are a rare commodity. Because Outlast is an indie game, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
And, Alien Isolation left me really dour and sad because I didn't really enjoy it. There wasn't really any other good horror game. Silent Hills got cancelled, for God's sake. And that... The reason I love this game is it took what made Resident Evil like 1, 2, and 3 scary and fun with the atmosphere and feeling of Silent Hill 2 and 3. You right. never felt safe, even with your weapons.
You see, I have looked at this game quite a bit and thought, do you know what? I need to play this. I really do need to play it. And, you know, I played the demos of the beginning hour in the Sony VR, the PSVR.
Love the demo. So
and
good.
That was really good in VR. You know, it's one of the games that I think...
Sorry, was playing... that PT? Was that demo?
It was kind of like a little bit like PT, I guess.
Here's a little thing. When you, about 15-ish minutes in, you go back to the beginning hour space.
Right.
And I was like, oh, I've been here before, but then it's much bigger than it was before. And also, this isn't really a spoiler, you get your leg and arm chopped off at the start.
Brilliant.
It's in the first half an hour to an hour, so it's not really spoiled.
It is kind of a spoiler.
Well, it's still in the tutorial because you get your leg chopped off and then you get introduced to the healing items.
Spoiler. It's not really a spoiler. Totally.
So let me just get this straight, right? You can heal a chopped off leg.
But you can't? Have you never healed someone's chopped off legs?
I know. I didn't know you could do that.
It's some big ordeal. It's just a little bit of super glue, a little bit of tape.
That was just a way to show off the really strong healing item. You never lose a limb again unless you know you die.
This is Resident Evil. You just have herbs, or as in America, herbs.
Well, yeah. There are still herbs, but in this game, it's like chemicals.
Here's a little language tip real quick. In America, a herb is a dork or a nerd. And a herb is something you might eat.
Herb.
Really?
It's an herb.
So you just
take some herbs and it'll be fine.
So was that kind of a joke then when Herb was introduced in The Simpsons because his name means dumb, but he's not dumb?
No, that was a while before that word came about to mean that.
Oh, okay. I thought they were just even smarter than I thought they were, but okay, never mind. Yes, Resident Evil 7, I'm trying to think of problems. There's a choice near the end which doesn't really have any impact at all. You still get to the same destination. And it's like you're there to save someone. And the choice between saving someone or someone else, you're like, I'm here for you. You can go away. I'm sorry. I didn't die so many times nearly to save you. I'm sorry. No. Okay. Bye.
I got something for this.
He's got a heartbreaking decision to make about whether his best friend lives or dies.
And not in an archer way either.
There is no talking pie, sadly. So that's what you want from this game. sorry. You can't get that. There's
to go back in time for some reason.
There are flashback scenes.
Yeah, there you go.
There's a flashback.
Is he a killer robot driving instructor?
There's a very big flashback scene involving a ship, which is awesome. Because that's part of the reason I respect this game. Because when you leave the main area, you think the game's set in. You think, how's it gonna get? Are they gonna continue the story? And it continues really awesomely. And there's free DLC coming soon. because there was a paid season pass thing which I've gone through, and I have played most of, apart from the story bits. And there's also a free bit of DLC involving an old Resident Evil character, because this is connected. This is connected.
So you play with Connect and then like on the Xbox and stuff?
Sorry.
Connected, get it?
There's actually a Kinect feature with Alien Isolation where if you like you're too loud or something in the room, alerts it. And I think that's pretty stupid. Like when I first defended, like said I don't like this game, people were saying, "Oh, play with Kinect." And I went, "Kinect."
Jesus Christ,
that's a funny one.
What was it? What's that game? There was a game where you had to hold the controller really, really still. What the hell was that?
Until Dawn.
Was that Until Dawn?
I haven't played that
oh,
game.
Oh, yes, it was Until Dawn. You're right, it was.
But some of my friends have said that there's a bit where you have to hold your controller perfectly still. So what they did was they reset the game, put the controller down, they still got caught.
Yeah, it didn't. It did not work very well. And I just think whenever they use, you know, one of these kind of gimmicks that are built into controllers or Kinect or whatever, they never work properly.
No, I do want to play Until Dawn, though. That's one of the exclusives that I haven't played that I want to. Like, yeah, that's a good point. Like, when I played Last of Us Remastered, you do shake the controller, like, twice to turn on your flashlight again. That's the only time I've shaken my controller in the entirety of my PS4 usage.
Yeah.
Like, remember in Uncharted 1, aiming with the grenades, you tilt the six axis?
Ratchet and Clank wanted you to fiddle around with twisting and turning things. I was like, nope.
I think that was still in Uncharted 4, you know, the shaky thing.
I don't remember shaking my controller.
I'm sure it is. It's definitely something I've played recently. But maybe it wasn't that. I don't know.
But Resident Evil 7. Part of the reason I love this so much is that, first of all, there's no zombies. No zombies. They're a thing called the Molded. And the way
they kind of look like zombies, to be fair.
They look more like monsters than zombies, I'd say. Like, they have massive claws, big teeth. Big, lovely white teeth. That's one thing. Everyone in this game has lovely teeth. I got to say that. Everyone brushes their teeth in this game.
They must
A+ for that. A+ for that.
Well, then, I guess it doesn't take place in the United Kingdom!
Yeah! There you go.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
Because as we know, everybody looks like Austin Powers.
I got to tell you, people, I get to make that joke because my teeth suck. My dentist has bought like 20 boats from the money I paid him to fix my fucked up teeth.
There you go.
But the reason one of the reasons I respect this game so much, though, is that there's barely any jump scares. When they're done, they're really well suspended. And the way the enemies get introduced is they just appear. A bit like in, I think it's Shattered Memories. The enemies just appear. There's no big cutscene like Resident Evil 1, 2, and 3 when someone gets introduced. They just, the first time you see a Molded, you just hear a plop, you turn around, there's an enemy in your face. That's the only introduction there is.
Suck on that!
And what makes this game great as well is it's actually fun. So some of the DLCs are... So two of the DLCs are a time-based mode and a horde mode. So there's a horde mode where you play as one of the characters from...
The horde mode. Antonio, what did you play this week? I played 100 games that all have horde modes.
That's right. So, I love a horde mode. Me, I do.
Well, this is actually connected to the demo. You play as the cameraman from that demo that you played in that horde mode.
Oh, okay.
You're dragged into the basement of the Baker house, and you basically have to survive by... there are compactors which make scrap, and the scrap is currency to get better guns and weapons and all that. And I've done both of those in the hardest difficulty. And what's funny about that is every time I've had to face the final boss, which is one of the characters from the game, with a massive weapon with just a tiny, tiny knife. And it's so fun. And when you beat him, it's so gratifying. You just feel so happy. That's the thing. This game is just
like a nightmare, having to beat a tough enemy with a tiny little knife.
That's what the game mode's called.
Nice. Butter knife.
Nightmare. No, it's called nightmare. It's called nightmare mode.
There you go.
And the other mode is just funny. So basically, one of the main antagonists is called Jack. He's the father of the family. And it's his 55th birthday. So... Basically, it becomes a gallery shooter in a way. So you're given a time limit, and if you get food and combine them, you can give him food, which gives you time bonuses, which basically stop the time. And it's all set in different parts of the level. So basically, you better memorize these levels, because you're going to be retracing them quite a bit, both in the story and in the DLC. And I really want to beat this on the Ethan Must Die difficulty, which is basically everything has been rigged, and that all the... key items have been shuffled around. So say a key to get through a certain door, that's been changed to somewhere else. And about 0.02% of gamers who've played Resident Evil 7 have beaten that.
Wow.
I really want to try it. I doubt I'll do it, but I want to try. So I'll end it there. I'll end my games there. Resident Evil 7, I fucking love this game. It's been a horror game I've waited years and years and years to play, because it's just, it's so well made. It looks beautiful. This runs at 1080p 60 locked on the Xbox One. That's something that's impressive, since the Xbox One's quite underpowered. And the story, it all connects in the end, which is great. There are tons and tons of little notes if you want to get. There are also videotapes, which you can find, which are playable, which also give you hints in the game. Love that. It's just great. I recommend it to any horror fan.
It does look great. Anyway. I mean, I will get around to playing this, so I will.
You're not missing anything. When you play it, you'll be like, holy shit.
You haven't been playing Balls?
No, I
haven't, actually.
No, enough. We need to move. Look.
Shut up!
I'd love
to end this. I suck at balls.
What's your top score? We want to know.
I'm going to go like 70. I suck at it. Moving on.
70?
Shush. Yeah, I suck. We need to move on. We need to move on, people. Time is moving.
I'm sorry. I like video games.
We know. Shush. You've had your talk now.
Video game podcast.
I know, yeah. Who invited Antonio on, for God's sake? Jesus Christ.
Right. What's wrong with you?
I know. God almighty.
Nope. Those have been my game.
Anyway, I have played something other than Persona 5 this week.
Oh, my God!
I have played and finished What Remains of Edith Finch.
Oh, my goodness. What Remains of Edith Finch. And this is by people who made what?
The Unfinished Swan.
I was literally about to ask. I like that game, first of all. Just by the name, is it a walking simulator?
Yes, I hate that term, though, to be fair. It's a narrative.
It's too accurate. Stop asking accurate questions.
I'd call it a non-combat narrative game.
That doesn't roll off the tongue, though. I don't see it as a negative, though, because I liked the Unfinished one. I thought it was quite fun.
Yeah, but it is taken as a negative connotation, you know, sort of saying.
Just like cosplay from last week. Oh, I'm bringing that up.
Yeah, well, anyway, Naruto.
What? What? That's not an insult.
Yes, well, Naruto. Yeah.
Yeah, Naruto.
Yeah.
Naruto.
Score one.
Anyway, shut up. You've had your say. Now you can be quiet for a bit.
Sorry, I'll mute myself now.
Yeah, What Remains of Edith Finch is great. It's very, very good. It's a short game, so, you know, it's £15. And for that £15, you get about 2 to 2.5 hours of game.
Uh-huh.
And there is no replayability, really. There's no branching story paths or anything like that. It literally is a story, and that's kind of it, really. And it's very narrative-driven.
Is it a good story?
It's a very good story. It's kind of the closest to Gone Home that I've played since Gone Home.
Interesting.
If I have to describe it in four words, it would be fun, upsetting, tragic, and strange is probably.
I'm waiting for one of these games to not be like sad and tragic. Like, all of these games are like, Esther's got murdered by a bear or whatever, and the house is empty without her. Oh, gone home, the kids and dead, and then the vanishing of Ethan Carter. Ah, boy, mutilated and ritualistic murder.
Yeah, but I guess you've kind of got to sort of go on that sort of darkness, haven't you, to kind of drive the narrative forward.
I was happy that you've gone home.
I think I think what's cool about what remains of Edith, who remembers Edith much, Edith Minch, is that what you've written? What's cool about it is, even though all these little vignettes are tragic in their own way, they're kind of done in a very surreal, fun way, which sounds really weird because these are like tragic things, but they're done in a way that's kind of fun but still reminds you that it's something tragic that happened.
When that woman fell under a tree, Oh, this is a fun little story about that.
It's hard to without giving spoilers. It's hard to tell you, but
I understand.
It's very, very cool. It's really well written. The voice acting's excellent. It's done just as a voiceover. You know, it's kind of a voiceover of the main character that you play as, and this isn't a spoiler, but you're the last remaining family member, really. And basically,
that's always the case. It's always like, this area is deserted now after the murders took place, or everyone's left this island. I'm gonna wander around it myself, and I understand why it's like that, because it's, you know, made by indie developer studios that, you know, but it's just, I don't know.
Well, it's kind of done that way, but it isn't really. It's your characters going back to the family house to write up a history of the family members. So that's kind of why you're there. You're
just in a cantankerous mood, I guess, or something. I don't know.
Yeah, you're kind of writing a journal and sort of the history of each member of the family and making up a family tree and, you know, just doing a bit of investigation as to what happened and trying to make sense of it all.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, because the family's supposedly cursed, so each member of the family's cursed to die or whatever, or end in a tragic way. So it's kind of that, you know, is the curse real or is it just coincidence and it's just unfortunate that each member of the family, you know, didn't make it. So you're kind of reliving the final moments of each family member.
It's the final moments.
Yeah. But yeah, I definitely recommend it. I think you'd like this, Duke. And I would be safe to recommend it.
How did you play it?
I played this on the PS4.
Okay. Is it on Steam?
It is available on Steam, yeah.
How much?
It is available. It's $20, I would have guessed.
My God, are you nuts?
Yeah, it's $14.99 on Steam. I'm on the page right now.
I'll put it on my wish list. Just wait.
Yeah, put it on your wish list. It is definitely. It's worth the. I have no qualms or any problems with paying the $14.99 I paid to play it.
Yeah.
I feel okay.
Hey, you call yourself a cheapskate? I am actually a cheapskate.
You are actually a cheapskate. Yeah, I feel kind of satisfied, and it's just cool. It's kind of a bit of escapism, you know, it's kind of a bit surreal. And yeah, it's just really, really well done. And even the house is just the weirdest place. Because when you see it from the outside, there's just all these extra bits being built on the side that just defy gravity.
Yeah.
And it almost is like this almost fantastical, you know, it's almost like some sort of fairy tale house that you're looking at. And I love
Resident
that
Evil
about
7's
it.
Kind of the same. It's a massive house that with so many layers.
Stop
to it.
Stop talking about Resident Evil 7!
Yeah, shut up! Just kidding. Have we not just said you've had your tour? What are you going? What is happening now?
I'm sorry, I think the guest does talk on a show.
Yeah, and talks and talks.
Yeah,
and
talks and keeps on talking. No,
I'm sorry, I'm used to being on podcasts.
All right. It's all good, it's fine, it's fine. But yeah, it looks great. It looks like something out of Harry Potter. You know, that's what the house looks like. And it's cool. The actual house inside is really cool. Each room is really detailed. You know, and there's so many little, like, trinkets and things around that are sort of related to each little family member and, you know, what they were like. It's you really get a sense of what these people were like, and I think that's what makes it really good. So, yeah, I totally recommend it. It's very, very good. So if you're interested in that sort of narrative-driven first-person experience... There you go. See, I never said walking simulator. Then this is a game for you. This is a game for you. Other than that, the only other game I played the Prey demo.
Yeah, that's not on Steam either.
Is it not? Huh.
Nope.
No, it's not. I just checked.
Yeah, but that's it. It gives you the first hour of the game. So oh, yeah. Me.
What the first hour of the game?
Damn. This totally reminds me of Bioshock.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Really? No.
Yeah, I don't know why. I think it's just the way the game's kind of structured. Like, one of the first weapons you get is called a glue gun, which is G-L-O-O, glue gun. And that sort of freezes the enemies, and then you can whack them with a wrench that you've got. And it just reminds me of using a plasmid and then, like, doing a follow-up thing. You know, when you used to freeze, like, the enemies and then shoot them or hit them with a wrench? It's very, very similar, and it has a very similar feel to that.
This is Bethesda, right?
Yes, it's Bethesda, but it's Arkane, who obviously are quite famous, I guess.
Dishonored.
And made Dishonored 2. But I think this is a different team. So okay. I think this is like either the B team or the A. I don't know whether it's B team or A team. I'm guessing it's probably the B team. But
does it feel like a B team game though? That's the question.
No, not at the moment. I think it's really cool.
I'm very interested.
Really
in this.
Cool so
very
far. But like I say, I've only played probably about half an hour of the hour demo.
Okay.
But it was just starting to get interesting because there's turrets that you can reprogram and you can use those and direct them. And it's kind of like find, at the moment it's find a key card to get to another area. And you're in like a building, but I don't know whether that's the whole of like the play area or whether you'll go to other locations or come out of that building. So, don't know. But okay. What I played of it, I thought was pretty good.
Did you get to play around with like the body swapping or hopping mechanic? Whatever
no,
it is? Cause
not...
Can't you like take control of anything?
You can apparently, but I haven't got to that stage yet.
Okay.
So at the moment, I'm just sort of pretty normal, really, and just like, you know, stealthing around and killing the enemies. So I need to finish the demo, really, because like I say, I'm only probably about half an hour through the demo, so I've not played all of the demo. So I'm sure it does let you unlock other stuff.
Fair enough.
It's a demo. So yeah, definitely worth playing. And that's kind of it for me. So over to you, Duke.
Yeah, I've been playing balls. I got a high score of 231.
You are joking.
Damn, boy.
You didn't see when I posted that on the WhatsApp?
No, I have seen a few things.
No, I tweeted it. I tagged Veteran Gamer.
I was going to say. Yeah.
Setting the bar higher, people.
Jesus
sorry.
Christ.
Sorry, not sorry. Because you know what? I am never the best at anything video game related, so it feels good to be the best at balls. I'm really good at playing with my balls.
Balls.
So balls is fun. Balls is very addictive. I find myself
balls.
Like, you know, if I'm waiting for a faculty meeting to start, I'll be like, yep, get the balls. It is what it is. I keep playing more Wildlands. That game does not disappoint. I keep having fun with it. It's a good game, you know?
You do like these third-person or like shooter. Or is it first-person or third-person?
It's a third, but you can go in the first line when you're aiming and shit.
Yeah.
Third-person repetitive shooting games.
Yeah, but it's so good. It's like so well done, and it's... I don't know. How would you describe it? Like, it's just... I don't know. It's
so good because I don't know.
He doesn't talk. He's doing the stream. So you know, it's just simple little things. Like each mission will take you 3 minutes tops. You know what I mean? For the most part. So it's just like it's nice bite-sized stuff. You die maybe once every like I don't know 20 missions if you're not being careful. And the reasons I die. Is because I'm not being careful. It's like purely just wandering around and I'm like, oh, I'm going to run out in the middle of everything. Like, that's not a good idea. So, yeah. And, ever since Chinny gave me the tip to include a grenade launcher on my piece, I'm taking them choppers down like nothing. Like, choppers can't mess with this. I got something for them. Yeah. And it's just good. And you know, I know Chinny's like, you get sick of it after a while, and I can see that. I think the difference between me and him is that when he gets sick of a game, he's gonna keep playing it, right? Chinny finishes games.
Oh yeah.
When I get bored with something, I just move on to something else. So I don't get mad about repetition. I usually stick with it for a while, and then you know, something else will come along. Like The Division. The Division got repetitive at a certain point. I was like, I'm losing interest. Move on to this other thing. And it just, you know, naturally I play this other thing. But eventually, as with The Division, I'll come back at some point and be like, you know what? It's time to play this again, and then I'll finish it. So, I don't know. I'm still having a lot of fun with this. I'm still playing a lot of it. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, by the way, just seeing the chopper on the screen just reminded me of something else in Prey. You have to get in a helicopter, and it takes you to another building at the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
And I thought, I wonder what happens if I jump up into the rotor blades. I wonder if it'll let me do that. Yep, it did. I died.
Jeez.
I was like, oh, yeah, that's cool. It lets you do that. Lets you kill yourself if that's what you really want to do. It's fine. So there you go. Anything else from you, Duke?
Yes, I've played two other games. New games, too.
Wow.
Oh, my God. One is called Bendy and the Ink Machine. So this is a it's kind of a horror walking simulator. I guess, I don't know, a lot of horror games are walking simulator-ish, aren't they?
Quite a few.
Can be.
Well, Outlast is a running simulator, but yeah.
Yeah, well, Amnesia is a kind of walking simulator, yeah. I guess, with puzzles.
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
Right. So this is kind of Amnesia-ish. The idea is that you're an animator returning to an animation studio where you used to work, and so you go back to it, and, you know, there's like, it's basically Mickey Mouse. But his name is Bendy, because I don't want to get sued. And it does that. This is chapter one. There's apparently like five chapters. And like, it's kind of messed up. You can see on the stream, like, there's this like goofy character who's got like his chest open. And it's like, what? This is sick. And instead of blood everywhere, there's ink everywhere. So, I mean, it's kind of interesting. It's obviously very dark. It's very gruesome. The gameplay mechanics are rudimentary. So you're just wandering around and you have to pick up stuff, and once you have six things, then the ink will come back on. And so, you know, it does that thing where, you know, it worked really well in what was the cool Xbox indie game, horror game that we liked to?
I have no idea.
Oh, there were like four of them.
I do know what you mean. No.
It's verb.
Oh, can't be what it's called now.
Anyway, it does the thing that they did, which is you go down a hallway and then there's a dead end and you go back. And as soon as you turn around, there's like a dude waiting for, you know, there's like a cardboard cutout. I guess you just saw it on the screen there. So that's kind of creepy because you think you're used to the hallways and then something's different. And there's some jump scares. I mean, it's decent. It's just, first of all, it made me motion sick.
The art style looks very cool. I've got to say, I do like the look of it.
It's good. It's very well done, you know, in terms of the way it looks. I just think if it had more actual stuff to do besides just wander around and find this stuff, I think it would be more fun. And again, like I said, the motion sickness is so weird, but it did happen. And
have you ever had that in a game before?
A few. Pretty rare. I remember at one point in Oblivion, for some reason, I was in some cavern. And I think I was hungry and tired. And I was like, ugh, I'm getting nauseated here. Nauseated, by the way, is the proper form of that verb. If you say nauseous, then you are making a joke about how you cause other people to become nauseated. Think of it this way. Nauseous is to nauseated as infectious is to infected. If you said, I am infectious, you'd be saying, I am capable of infecting others. But if you say, I am infected. So anyway.
All right, we get it.
Well, you just saved me a grade on my essay.
Grammar section. Yes, you're welcome. So whatever. This is worth a giggle. It's the first chapter is free on Steam. It's worth a look. It's not game of the year. It's not really my thing. But, you know, some people might really get a kick out of it. So give it a shot if you like this sort of game.
I might give this a whirl. I'll have a look at it.
Do worse. And, you know, it's worth having a look, I suppose.
I just clicked download. Can I wait? It looks pretty
cool.
There you go. The art style is freaking awesome.
There you go.
I love the art style.
I will not lie that the art style is very good. And then the other game I played is I finally played the game that what's his name? Marcanix gave me, which is Event Zero.
He gave me a game too, actually.
So he got this free on a
Humble.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's where he gave me my game. He gave me a One Piece game. He's like, anime, you might like this.
Yeah.
And I do, by the way, Mark. If you're listening, Mark, thank you for that. I did actually really enjoy that game.
So nice. I mean, you know, that's a thing that people do all the time, which is really cool. You know, you get a bundle and you know, you probably got it for one or two games, and then there's all this other stuff. But it takes some time to figure out who might have these things on their wish list, which is what he did for me. Like, he had this game, and he was like, oh, Duke has it on his wish list. I hope he didn't look at a lot of different people's wish list and be like, hey, you know, I'm going to keep looking until I find
it. Anyway, what's the game like?
So Event Zero is a walking simulator.
Okay.
And you know how I feel about those. I didn't realize that's what – I guess I sort of did. But I don't know, man. The thing about this game is it's the best walking simulator since Gone Home. Tricked you. It's really well done because...
Oh, I know this. He speaks to a computer or something.
Yeah. The whole thing. His name is Kaizen.
No, you don't. I do know this.
Did you play it?
I own it.
Okay. You should play it. It's really good. The opening of the story, it has that thing. You remember Firewatch, dude? Did you play Firewatch?
I did. I love Firewatch.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. So there's that dumb thing at the beginning where it's like, you met your wife at a, and then you could choose either library or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So this game does that where it's like, you grew up on a hippie compound, you know, whatever, like religious cult, or, you know, just like you're choosing your backstory. And so far as I can tell, it doesn't really have any impact on anything. So it's like, why bother? But whatever. As I was playing it, I wrote, the story is good. It's not great. And then when I got done, I crossed out, you know, good, not great. And I wrote, it's a very, very good story. Like, I'm not prepared to say it's a great story, but it's really good. I think they did a very good job with the story. And so the puzzles take a back seat to the story, which is as it should be, because most of what you're doing is, you know, just sort of following a story. You're being shepherded through a story, which is fine. That's a good thing, I think, because the story is interesting and it's good. It's worth focus. It's worth having it front and center. I think a lot of times, you know, like the thing with the story, like, that's an interesting story, I guess, but it's just, you know, you can tell what it is, demonic cartoon characters, whatever, something supernatural going on. But with this, and, you know, I think a lot of times people who make walking simulators or other games, you know, they'll have an unusual game mechanic because their story isn't good enough to put front and center. Whereas this one, I think, has a, you know, it's worth putting front and center. And, you know, the other thing that's interesting about this game is that you're interacting with the computer and you can type whatever you want. So it's the type of thing where you kind of got to, you know, trial and error. And, you know, obviously most of what you're doing is like open the door or, you
know.
So
what you're saying is it's kind of a text adventure game, but disguised as something else. Is that what you're saying?
It kind of is, except there's a reason to have it with other things. Not like that Stranger Things.
Now you say it.
Told stories.
I'm going to say, I'm looking at this.
I kept thinking about that. Yeah, exactly. Because you walk around, and first of all, the mechanics are really good because they want to keep the keyboard open. So when you're walking, you push left mouse button to move forward, right mouse button to move backward. And so that's your whole movement mechanics. So therefore, you can use the keyboard anytime you want. And you can move around while you're typing so long as you're near the terminal. It's just real, and it's really well done. And it's, you know, you're on this ship and it's like, okay, what's happened? You were doing something else on Europa 11 and then you've drifted around for 6 months or whatever. And then finally the ship shows up and then you dock with it. And then it's like, okay, what's going on? And
it reminds me a lot of Adrift.
I haven't played Adrift. Oh wait, that's the one by the Gone Home people, right?
No.
Oh, what's their space one?
Adrift was the one by the guy who worked for Microsoft who went deal with it.
That's right. Yeah.
Is it Adam Orff? Is it Adam Orff? His name is something like that. But it's like kind of like Gravity the game. So it's sort of you wake up in a wrecked space station and have to figure out how to sort of escape.
Yeah. This game has more personality than that. Like, you know, you can tell they're trying to do some interesting things with it. And, you know, by the time you get to the end, there's some really interesting stuff on the table. You know, and when you get to the end, you get real answers. It's none of this Dear Esther mysterious, well, I don't know, you have to kind of interpret nonsense. This is like, here's what happened.
Can I just say, there is a little bit of that in What Remains of Edith Finch at the end.
Well, you know what?
Not a ton, but there's a little bit of it.
That gives me even more reason to wait, because when you say not a ton, I have a feeling it's going to be like, there's a bird.
It leaves a little bit of ambiguity, but I think that's fine. I don't mind that.
Forgive me if I don't trust your judgment. But anyway, Event Zero. Like, when I got done, I was just like, thumbs up. I went and wrote a review. You know how sometimes you play a Steam game and you're just like, I am so happy with that. I'm going to write a review and encourage other people to check it out. So I did. And I think that's a really good sign. So
there you go. And yeah. is that it?
So then there's the story that comes after it, because after I finished, I had to be like, okay, I need to pay Marcanix back. And so I got him. I looked on his wish list. What does he have on his wish list? Skyrim Special Edition. Are you kidding me? Well, of course, I know what I'm getting him, so I gifted him. Like, you didn't have to do that. Dude, I like that game so much that, and I, you know, I never wanted to prop someone of Skyrim, so there you go.
There you go. Well, I will definitely give this a try. I like the look of it.
Yeah, it's a really good game. I really liked it a lot. So.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like that a lot. There you go. Right, we need to move on. There is no time for news, I'm afraid.
Oh, man, no time
there
for news.
There is no time for news. But we have got emails.
Oh, yeah.
That ruled.
So the first one is from a new emailer into the show. Yeah. He's called Adam. He's called Adam. And
you're
he
the
says
first this. Ever. Your wife was made out of your rib.
Exactly. So his email is entitled Teaching and Gaming.
Oh, snap. Now you're in my wheelhouse, baby.
Yeah, so he says this. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Good day.
Good day. I'm really loving the podcast. I started listening about a month ago, and I find that the two-hour-long podcast helps me get through some boring times in work. I'm a PhD student, so I spend around 9 hours a day looking through a microscope.
Yeah.
So keep up the good work. But my question is for Duke.
Oh, snap. Go ahead. Hit me. Let me hear you. Shoot. Fire away.
As a teacher, I'm always reminded about a story my friend once told me. He was teaching a geography.
It's email story time. How about that? Yeah.
Exactly.
Email story time.
He was teaching a geography class to secondary school kids, high school, I think it is in America.
Yeah.
And while his back was turned, he could hear all the students talk about how him, the teacher, was terrible at the new Call of Duty. One of the kids making the main accusations and getting a rile out of everyone in the class was always a bit of a rowdy one.
Yeah.
So what my friend did was that he turned around and told the kid that if he wants to settle this, he can do it 1v1 quick scoping on Rust, Modern Warfare 2 Classic. And that he'd 360 quick scoping with his eyes closed. Needless to say, the class erupted and the little shite's face dropped. And was silenced for the rest of the class. If there was a mic drop moment, I say this was it.
Well, yeah.
So my question is related to this sort of scenario. Have you ever had a funny experience regarding what your students think you don't know about gaming, only to how you say served them?
No, I haven't. Mostly because I put it right up front. Like, I'm always talking about...
I mean, let's be honest. You've got a map of Skyrim on your wall.
Got a map of Skyrim. We got a quest indicator on the door. I've got my Skyrim cross-stitch. I have a Rocket League cross-stitch. I mean, and I wear my Skyrim tie usually the first week. I was out in the hall last week, Friday, I think it was, with the Skyrim tie. And this random kid I didn't even know, I'd never seen him before, so far as I knew, comes walking along and he goes, "Ooh, I like your tie." And I was like, "Oh, thanks. It's, you know, one of only two in the world, blah, blah, blah." I told you why there's another one, right? Because I sent Tom Bissell the other one.
That's right. By the way, Tom Bissell has writing credits on What Remains of Edith Finch.
Oh, snap. Now you got me wanting to play a little.
Yeah, you see.
Hey, you could stop interrupting. Oh, wait, I interrupted myself.
So
he was like, "I didn't know you play Skyrim." I'm like, "First of all, you've never met me. What? That sentence is so weird. Why? Of course you didn't know. You don't even know who I am." Secondly, yes, I play Skyrim. I've played it 10 times more than you have, Sonny. But anyway, I haven't really had that. I mean, and the other thing is, when I talk about video games in class, I'm usually, like, making fun of myself. It's always, like, you know, I'll talk smack at first. I'll be like, "Y'all couldn't even handle it if you played against me." And then they go, "Yeah, what's your KD ratio?" And I'm like, "I don't keep track of that shit. I'm trying to have fun with games." So I make it very clear that I'm not actually competitive. So.
Yeah, unless you're playing Rocket League.
Even with Rocket League, I'm like, you know what? Because look, I'm silver.
Get away with you, man. You're always going about like how good it feels when you win and all that stuff. Don't pretend you're not.
But,
that,
I recognize how good it feels, but that doesn't mean it happens a lot to me.
No, it doesn't. But you're competitive. We know you.
I get competitive, but you have to understand that that's different from being a competitor.
Yeah, true.
Right? Like,
true.
Oh, you know, I play for the fun, and what I've realized recently.
You were happy when you ranked up.
I'm happy when I rank up, but I also realize that rank is not a fixed number. It's a strange attractor, right? So you have a range where your rank is. So I'm silver one, occasionally silver two. Once in a while, I'll drop back to bronze three. So that's my rank. It's in that zone. And so long as I don't spend too much time in the bronze, I'm happy.
Yeah, fair enough. Anyway,
there's people who focus on the rank, and I just think that's unhealthy. So anyway, go on.
Yeah, true enough. Anyway, he says, hope you see this. So I think that's referring to the fact that I miss the occasional email.
Yeah, you do.
So I miss it. Anyway, he says, all the best, Adam. So
thank you, Adam. We appreciate your email. Thank you, everyone who writes some questions to me.
Yeah, and we like new listeners, so it's cool to know that people are still finding the show and stuff. So that's very nice.
Listener, we know he's a new emailer.
Yeah, we know. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Anyway, the... the next one is, all, I think, also a new emailer. I may be wrong. We may have had one off this person before. But, it's from Lou.
Welcome, and, Lou. That's my Lou. Mother-in-law's name.
Yeah, there you go. And he says this. I think it's Lou a man, but it could be Lou a girl. Who knows? And he says this. Anyway, hey, gamers.
Hey.
I've been hearing about this balls game. balls. Everywhere.
Balls.
But it wasn't still your recommendations that I decided to try it out.
Yeah.
A quick download, and I opened up the app just to be sent to the app store to download some other game called Stacks.
See, you gotta be careful. There's so many ads in this dumb game.
I know. I went back to Balls and found a full screen ad for Stacks. I have to say that my confidence in Balls living up to any of the praise is pretty low. If I'm being sent to a different game before I've even played it.
That's a good point. I won't argue that.
I remember the good, bad old days of the internet where you would go to a site and the pop-up ads would render your computer useless.
Yep.
Fuck this shit. Fuck this game. I'm done. Uninstalled and left a 1-star review.
I just want to say, fuck this game. I'm done.
So he never actually played it? Because he
never played the game. Never.
I mean, I understand why you're frustrated, but you can't let that... you from Balls.
Yeah,
give it another try and go back and get more balls.
Yeah, get more balls, man. That is funny though. I like the email. Thank you for the email. So he says, thanks for the podcast, guys. Keep playing the games and having fun, Lou. So thank you very much for that. It's very good.
Thanks, Lou. Appreciate it.
Next one, you need to queue up the quiz jingle. We have been sent a quiz.
I have a quiz jingle ready. Should I play it now?
No. You'll know when to play it in a second. Yeah. It's called The Seven Deadly Kins.
It's time for the quiz.
It's from Derek Sines, and he says, hey, 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 veteran gamers.
Hey, hey, hey.
I am sure the show has been its usual high energy, high intelligence, and high anxiety, my favourite Mel Brooks movie.
Yeah. What? Are you kidding me?
No, it's his... No, whoa. His favorite doesn't mean to say it's the best. It's his favorite.
But that's ridiculous. How can you like high anxiety these balls or Blazing Saddles or Young Frankenstein?
Look, you can't disagree with his... That's his opinion.
I can't disagree. His opinion is incorrect.
Anyway. The listener, Piltreat, has been...
That's what people
right, whoa. Are you listening or what? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Right, right. Calm yourself down. All right, are you calm now?
You don't know me very well, do you?
Yeah, I know you very well. Anyway, he says, the listener Pilchreed has been clamoring for it, so here's your chance to play Pilch's lovingly crafted quiz jingle, not only once, but twice in the same show. The idea for these two quizzes
he's got
popped
two
in.
Quizzes?
There's two quizzes. One's a very small quiz, to be fair.
Okay, what?
The idea for these two quizzes popped into my head, no pun intended, after recently rewatching the Brad Pitt Morgan Freeman movie Seven, best movie ever made.
Great movie.
Such a good movie.
I like you again.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Seven is based around the concept of the seven deadly sins.
It is.
Just think of them as red warning signs dotted along the highway of life.
Yeah.
As usual, the quiz answers are in the attachment below, so even Stu has a chance to have a go.
Oh, sweet. Did you already cheat?
Cue the quiz jingle. No, I haven't looked.
It's time for the quiz. It's time for the quiz. We play the shitty sound clip when it's time for the quiz.
There you go. I have looked at the questions, obviously, so I've had time to think about them.
Yeah, up you mean.
But I'll put this to you two guys, the number one quiz. Are you ready?
Okay, we're ready.
Can you name the seven deadly sins?
I can't.
Like seven dwarfs.
I can try. I don't get them all.
I'll fill them.
Go.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. Shit. Okay, there's greed.
No, definitely not shit.
not shit.
Okay, yeah, there's...
Yes.
Lust.
Yes.
Oh, God. Seven deadly sins. Greed, lust.
Have you seen the...
Sorry?
Have you seen the movie?
Seen which film?
Seven.
No, not yet.
See, because if you see the movie Seven, you'll never forget them. Because they come right up. Anyway, go on.
Gluttony?
Yes.
I can't think of any more right now. So okay. I'll have to leave the rest to you, sir.
You said greed, lust, gluttony.
Yeah.
Pride, thinking you're better than other people.
And
there's sloth, being lazy. There's wrath. And then there's...
Ooh, what's the final one?
Oh, man, what the what?
What?
Greed, lust, pride, sloth, gluttony, wrath, and envy.
Envy, yeah, envy's the other one, isn't it?
Okay, yay, I did
yay.
It! I
there you go. It. You yay. Win the quiz, Duke wins the quiz.
Everybody should see the movie Seven. It's a really good movie.
Yeah, but that and Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent films.
Two of the best ones.
Right, cue the jingle again. Here we go. We quiz number two.
Oh, yeah.
It's time for the quiz. It's time for the quiz. We play the shitty sound clip when it's time for the quiz.
Anyway, video game families often seem more than ever dysfunctional than their real-life counterparts. But can you name the game or the franchise that these seven sets of relatives are from?
Ooh,
I like this, it's good.
That's a good quiz too.
It's good. Are you ready? Number one, brothers Anthony Clayton and Benjamin Carmine.
Gears of War.
Gears of War. There you go, that's right. That's correct, Tomondo. Father and daughter, Eli and Alex Vance.
Half-Life, isn't it?
It is Half-Life.
Yeah. Yeah, well done, Antonio.
Now, I haven't looked at the answers, and I don't know what this is from, but maybe you two can guess it.
Mm.
Sisters Nina and Anna Williams.
Dead or alive?
I don't know. We'll come to the answer after, because obviously, I might as well look, to be honest, I guess.
Yeah, you're going to have to look, because I don't know.
Yeah, let's have a look.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so close.
What was it?
Tekken.
Ah, oh, fucker.
Really?
Shit. You were close. You were the right genre.
Yeah.
Fighting games.
The right genre. Ethan and Sean Mars.
That's Heavy Rain.
It is. Duke's favorite game.
Well done, Anthony. Can't keep doing that every time someone gets it.
Father and daughter, Ryotaro and Nanako Dojima.
Persona?
No. I know what this is.
Dojima. I recognize that name.
You should do.
Yeah. Shit. Shit. Persona was... Shit, something I say.
Actually, I'm wrong. I thought it was Yakuza. No, I thought it was Yakuza because there's a character in that called Dojima. But it isn't. Duke was actually right.
What?
It's from Persona 4.
Yeah, you didn't say yes or no. You didn't say yes or no, so I was like, hold on.
Right.
Yeah. Dojima.
I've only just looked at the answers. I'm trying not to look at the answers, you see. And then
Dojima's your uncle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say Persona 4, I thought it was wrong. Okay.
It could be Kojima, actually, in Yakuza. That's probably where I've got mixed up.
Trust you.
I don't know. All these Japanese names, who knows? Brothers, JC and Paul Denton.
Oh, God.
Sounds familiar, but I can't... Yeah. I keep thinking of, like, these names sound familiar, but I can't place them.
Denton.
That's not L.A. Noir, is it?
No.
Just a hand. What genre game is it?
First-person action it's kind of open world, I guess.
I was going to say Infamous. It's in Second Son.
That's not Fallout 3, is it?
No.
Well, the names again?
JC and Paul Denton.
Denton?
Ooh. Denton.
All right.
Shit.
It's kind of stealthy. It's very stealth orientated, this game.
Give us the first word, first letter of each word in the game.
The letter D.
Is that it? One word?
E.
D and D.
No, D and E.
Oh, sorry.
Dead.
No, there's also an X in the first word.
Is there now?
Oh, the second word.
X, rec, leg, M,
no, second word, even.
Fuck, I don't know.
Something X might help. Something D, something
X. Deus Ex?
Yay! There you go.
Oh, Deus Ex. Ah, see what you did there. Yeah, okay. You said there was an X in the first word.
No, and then I changed it. I realized the second word, isn't it? Anyway. Just ignore me, I'm stupid. And finally, number 7, sisters Samantha and Caitlin Greenbrier.
That sounds like something from Fable.
No.
But it's not.
Greenbrier?
It's one of Duke's favorite games ever.
What?
Yes!
Not Skyrim.
No!
Not Eco.
No!
Certainly missed. Not Portal. favorite game? Not Eco?
It really is one of your favorite games.
What is it?
Gone Home.
You know what? A game I've only played once can't really be one of my favorite games ever.
You love that game.
I'm just playing. I'm mad at myself that I didn't get that. But
anyway, thank you for that. He says keep your friends close, but keep your family.
Much.
At least arm's length. So there you go, Derek. Thank you very much for that, Derek.
Coming.
Keep them coming. We like the quizzes. Final email tonight is off Mr. Steve.
Mr. Steve. Mr. Steve.
That's me.
There you go. He says this. My YouTube ratings are low, but still better than Trump's.
Yeah.
My question of the week. Nintendo Switch is using cartridges and some companies have been cheaping out and buying the minimum and making players download the rest of the game as well as updates. That's true, because obviously the bigger the memory on the cartridge, the more expensive it is to produce.
Interesting.
So what a lot of... And considering the Switch has got such a small sort of hard drive in it...
It's got a small penis?
No, small hard drive. Because it's got such a small hard drive in it, it's like you buy a game, it takes up the whole of the memory of the Switch just to put one game on it. So they're having to pay for the data and the extra memory, which could get expensive after a while. What are your thoughts? Should we expect it to pay the extra cost? So the same, should be expected to pay more if you have it all on the cartridge rather than having to download it off the interwebs?
It seems like a natural consequence of where we're headed in a way, but it still seems sketchy-ish stuff.
Yeah, I think the problem is, what's he got? 32 gigabytes, I think it is it?
Yeah, built in, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty rubbish, isn't it, really, when you think about it?
Yeah.
You know, especially for a gaming tech, you know, something that's like, you know, plays games, you need at least like 500 gigs now, don't you? Especially if you're having to download stuff.
Yeah, but it was about size and all that, because obviously you can get tiny, big hard drives, but they cost so much, yeah.
Yeah, and cost, but yeah, it's a compromise, I guess.
Yeah, it is a compromise.
Anyway, continues, Rocket League has seen a 40% bump in users, and there have been reports of a slow matchmaking and other problems. Have you guys noticed any problems? And is Duke still pretending to be a Mexican?
Well, there's that. But no, I mean, the matchmaking is sometimes wonky, but for the most part, it's pretty good. Like, I'd say maybe one game out of 30 doesn't go through because of wonky matchmaking, but that's not bad at all. So, no, I'm pretty happy with the matchmaking in Rocket League, to be honest.
There you go. And, he finishes out with nothing like a last-minute email. Keep up the good work.
Yeah,
Steve,
thanks.
Mr. Steve. Oh,
and anybody who's listening right now, why not send us an email right now? You'll be the first one for next week's show.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, I did. There is one speak pipe this week, I believe.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't realize we had any speak pipes. I am definitely not just stalling for time.
Speak pipe!
it's the way to leave a message for crap. Us.
Dude, you could put them in the show notes if you wanted. That way I wouldn't have to open a new tab for my email.
That's true. I never thought of that. But anyway, I have sent it to you, so let's hear it. It's good. Yes, it's good this week.
And it's from Link.
It is?
How about that?
Amazing.
Here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Here it comes.
Come on.
That's Chad Warden's impression of Link, by the way. Anyway, here's the real speak pipe.
Hello, everybody. My name Link. I'm from the video game The Legend of Zelda. I'm very happy.
See, I wouldn't have thought that a video game character would know he's a character in a video game. How about that?
I know. Amazing.
I'm very happy because everybody liked my video game. The IGN gave it 10. The GameSpot gave it 10. Stewie, he nice man. He liked my video game. But I'm very happy because the joke don't like my game.
What accent exactly is this? I never heard Link talk like this. It kind of sounds like he's like mentally unstable or something. It's like the Swedish.
I think he's meant to be Japanese, but I'm not entirely sure.
Maybe.
I don't know why you don't like my game joke. You like the Skyrim. My game like the Skyrim. Cause in the Skyrim you got the magic. My video game got the magic. In Skyrim you can't find things. My video game you go around you find things. Skyrim you got the horsey. My video game you got the horsey too. So I don't know why you don't like it, joke. I was very sad because people get my name wrong. They keep calling me Zelda. I say, that's not my name. That's my girlfriend's name. My name is Link. But they keep calling me Zelda. I said, don't bloody call me Zelda, okay? Not my name, okay? Anyway, yeah.
It's like Borat in a way.
I like my girlfriend Zelda. She's very nice. I go into the woods and I find things. I find a mushroom and I show the mushroom and she holds my hand. And I make a wet patch in my pants. I don't know why. I feel funny. I like the Steel, he's a nice man. I like the Chinito, he's a very nice man. He come from Australia, he got the funny voice. I find him very funny. Anyway, I like you all, apart from joke. I like the video podcast. Bye!
Well, thank you very much. Oh, wait, he doesn't like me. Let me just try it again.
He doesn't like you.
Zelda.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't like you. You've upset him, you have.
Well, he upset me by having a game that's not as good as Skyrim, but everyone talks about it like it's Skyrim.
Exactly. Look, he just told you why it's like Skyrim and you still don't
but
like
it's
it.
Not! Not as
poor. Anyway. I thought he was going to mention his lucky charms to start with, but then he started going Jamaican. So we went into the store now. Here, my now.
That's a game. That's a very good game.
I do the flicking of the sword and the guy goes down. Oh no, Ganon's back again.
What y'all know about that? Yeah.
I tell you what, though, we have been doing really well for celebrity speak pipes over the last few weeks.
Yeah. Oh, true. Yeah. We have had quite a few quick ones.
I know. Incredible, all these different celebrities. I mean, I didn't even know we had that sort of listener base going on.
Shows what you know, which is nothing.
I know. Nothing. Nothing, man. So anyway, thank you very much to Link for sending that in to us. It was very enlightening.
Dude. Yeah. Sorry, it's not my thing.
There you go. Anyway, that's kind of it. We need to do some shout-outs and get the hell out of here. So
it's time for a shout-out. Hey!
So we'll come to Antonio first. As long as he doesn't give shout-outs for the next half an hour, we should be fine. So, yeah, Antonio, off you go.
First of all, I want to shout out my ability to talk about video games. I'm sorry I can speak about them.
No!
I'll do some... shout-outs, there we go. Panda Reviews, hey mate, how you doing? I'll shout out two podcasts that I'm on quite regularly now. The Entertainer Nerds, they've got me on as regularly now for some reason.
So are you into sport then, are you?
Wrestling's a sport, right? Big sweaty men grabbing each other. With
predetermined rules. Yeah. It's a stretch.
No, it's fake sport. People say, oh, it's a fake sport. Yeah, it is. It's more like a play.
It's choreographed. It's a dance.
Yeah, I'd say it's more like a play or something.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I say. And also, I'm on a show called the Weave Loser Cast on YouTube. Check them out. We're all losers. We're great there. Thank you for having me on, guys. Like, I appreciate you guys always choosing me out of everyone who listens.
I know. I do appreciate it.
Yeah, I've chosen other people sometimes. We mix.
Yeah, I do know that, but it's still you still come back to me for some god reason. So I appreciate it. Thank you very much for having me on, and thank you, listeners, for putting up with me once again. I'm sorry. You didn't like me. If you do like me, though, I have a podcast called Yap Yet Another Podcast. Cool. All right, moving on.
There you go. Is that it? Are you done?
Yes, I am.
Yep.
Wow, who knew he could speak so concisely?
You're the only one laughing?
Yep.
Oh, there's people all over the planet right now busting a gut laughing. Were you handing off shout-outs to me, Stu?
I did try to do that when you were doing the yap sound clip.
I am recording. I will shout out Chinny for having a fun time wherever he's at. What is he in? Portugal, do you say?
Portugal, yeah, on a stag do where he doesn't drink anything. So, you know, he'll be having loads of fun.
Yeah, he's playing nanny to a bunch of soused guys.
He is, yeah. He'll be not pissed and they'll all be very pissed.
Sorry.
I'm
it's rough sometimes. I will shout out Antonio for coming in and taking Chinny's place, even though he didn't stream the way Chinny does, because that would have made my life easier. I could have graded some papers, but whatever. I'm not complaining.
Nah.
Progress reports
It's Sunday.
I got like a million hours to do that. I will shout out Hari Kondabolu because he's very funny. And I will shout out Marcanix because he gave me that game, Event Zero, which is really good. And everybody should play Event Zero because I really liked it. And I will shout out Stu because I'm sure there's a reason.
you just got to look for it, man. You just got to look.
Yeah. I'll shout out the Duchess because, we had a good time this weekend. And she's making dinner. And we went out to brunch this morning. And I'll shout out Tutto Pasta in Madison because they suck. We went to go to this Italian restaurant, and they have really good food. And we made a reservation. We got there 15 minutes late. When we were 10 minutes late, I called them to be like, hey, we got stuck in traffic. We're on our way. And they were like, okay, click. We get to the restaurant 5 minutes later, 15 minutes late. They go, oh, we have to put you at the bottom of our reservation list because you were late. I was like, what are you talking about? You got to be kidding me. That just seems bogus to me. Why take my phone number if you're not going to let me know that, like, whatever.
Yeah, well, just, don't be late is the moral of this story. Is it because your battery ran out?
We just got stuck in traffic. I just said that.
Did you have to put it on quick charge?
Because here's the thing. Look, if they had made us wait 15 minutes after we had a reservation, you don't mean to tell me they'd give us a free bottle of wine or something. That's just the way it goes. Well, guess what? Sometimes the customer can't – and I've never heard of that happening before. I've been on this planet 4 decades. I have never heard of anybody being kicked off the reservation list because you were a little late for your reservation. That's what it means. You reserve my table.
So how long did you have to wait for a table then?
We went somewhere else.
Goodness me, did you take umbrage?
You were in a rush. So whatever. It was really annoying. So I don't know. I think it's a good idea for us to just not go to that place for dinner because they're always just crazy packed. So it's a good place for lunch, but I think I should just stay away from there for dinner. So, whatever. Anyway, that's my shout outs.
There you go.
Well, shout out Balls, the game, because I just broke 200 again. Ew.
Oh, my God, you're mad. Anyway, I will shout out Antonio for being very kind to come on the show. So thank you for that, Antonio. Right.
Really, I was just planning to say, say, stop speaking. But okay, cool. Thank you.
Yeah, I will.
You're going to cut down my bit to like 10 minutes, you know?
No, I'm a heck. I don't do any of that shit no more. I'm also going to shout out Antonio for stopping speaking eventually. There you go.
Someone goes to a show and tells them to stop.
It's funny. Anyway,
hey,
I'm gonna.
Billy, what you want for dinner? Oh, I'd like McDonald's. Yeah, you want to stop telling me what you want for dinner? Jeez,
Jesus
you don't need
Christ.
Your whole life story.
I will shout out also Link for the SpeakPipe, which I thought was very funny. I've got to say. So whoever that is, keep them coming because we do
it's
like
Link.
Them.
What do you mean whoever that is?
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean. Anyway, also shout out Chinny for whatever the hell he is up to at the moment, whether he's patting someone on the back because of vomiting everywhere. Who knows what he's doing?
Hair, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, hope he's having fun.
Speaking like Link.
Pass me that shot now.
drink of our lager. obviously all the listeners and people who stick with us and people who email in, and it's very easy to email. All you have to go to is veterangamers.co.uk and there's a contact us thing and you can just do it straight from there. You don't even have to go in your email or anything.
Right there, dude. You just fill out a form. It's
dead easy. Piece of cake. So go and do that. Send us some emails. We love getting emails off new people. It's so cool when we get a new emailer.
It can happen.
Make it happen, people. And that's kind of it, I think. So on that note, what we need to do is get the hell out of here.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called BGG. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out. VGHub.net is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.
Instead, go and do something less boring instead. Sit in that home, watch TV, turn it up, go to the TV.
Why don't you? Come on, people, why don't you?
There you go, job done.
Oh. Another show in the bag. Looking out, Antonio. Thanks for coming.
Thanks, Antonio.
Always good fun.
It is always good fun. Which other show can you go on where Link sends a speak pipe?
What other show has a speak pipe? None other.
Yeah, exactly.
No other show I go on has a speak pipe. So
there you go. And whatever you do, you know, we've had Will I Am, we've had Link, we've had some weird American person last week. Who knows? Yeah, Chewbacca's here. Who's going to speak pipe us next week? Who the hell knows?
Never know. It's always a crapshoot.
I know. I am excited to know who's going to send one next week. Who knows?
I am excited.
So that's it, guys. I've got to go because it's bedtime for me.
For Bongo.
I got to go and cook.
What are you going to cook at 20 past 11 at night?
My dinner.
Pot noodle?
What are you going to have?
I don't know. Actually. Nothing special. I don't know.
I doubt you will at 20 past 11, man.
Well, this is jungle for me.
Look, why are you giving him a hard time? That's the life of the college student, don't you know?
I got up at 4, leave me alone.
Yeah, really?
Jesus Christ. Right, on that note, we need to get out of here then, I guess.
I think he's sorry.
Yeah, it's been up since 4 o'clock, man. You need to get to bed.
And now the stream is ending.
There you go. And so is the show.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Right. Thank you for that, mate.
You're welcome, guys. Have a good night, everyone.
We will do. You too.
Tatty bye.
Tatty bye. Bye.
Yes, bye.